The views expressed on PFW in Progress are not those of the New England Patriots, its affiliates, or any of its partners. Content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
The following takes place between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m.
This is PFW in Progress.
What is that? Someone made a tape of something dying or something.
Turn that crap off! What's going on?
I want this music out of my head.
Hey, turn that off! Turn that off right now!
PFW in Progress with Red Kirsch.
Well, Dick, here's the deal. I'm the best there is, plain and simple. I mean, I wake up in the morning, I piss excellence. And nobody can hang with my stuff. I'm just a big, hairy American winning machine. If you ain't first, you're last.
Paul Perillo.
Shut up in here. I'm trying to sleep. One of you turds is about to get smacked in the mouth.
Hey, stop yelling at me, okay?
And Andy. And Andy?
Hey, Ryder! Drivey!
Please be 18.
Andy Hart.
We were shellbacks together, Andy. You got payback coming.
Eric Scalavino.
Remember that time we got kicked out of biology for playing with Matchbox cars?
Yeah.
Who's retarded now?
For now, anyway.
My husband Gregory and I wish only for that which every other couple wishes for. To tame Komodo dragons in Sri Lanka.
PFW in Progress, part of the Patriots Football Network.
Hakuna Matata, bitches.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. Another off-season special edition. We'll be here until 2 o'clock talking everything Patriots and everything else. We had a lot of good reviews of Tuesday's show.
It was a good show.
People really liked it.
You know why?
Why?
No Paul.
No Paul. We had Gerard Mayo, right?
Mayo was very good.
Mayo was good, and we had a lot of good talk. We're going to do that again today on Patriots.com. At some point, we're going to be going live to Nick Caserio's press conference.
Expected any minute. Expected to start at noon.
Did you know that, Kevin? He didn't know that. Oh. Sorry about that.
So are we not going
live?
Do
you have that? Yeah, we are going to go live to that at some point.
I'll scramble.
Nick Caserio is having a press conference. Sorry about that, Kevin. I thought that was
obvious.
No. Anyway, so that's going on pretty soon. Nick Caserio addressing the media.
Or already, for all we know.
About the draft. So we'll either go to that live or in progress.
Or not at all, the way he's scrambling.
That's why it's called PFW in Progress. So that's coming up. And, of course, Eric will be by later.
Haven't had one of those in a while.
Andy's here.
Is it on right now? Then go to it.
Okay, so let's go to Nick Caserio in Progress.
Progress.
In Progress. Can't do it. All right. Can you even hear me?
No. I can't hear you, or I can't anyway.
All right.
Okay, so big news of the day,
yeah,
which has kind of been big news like five times already, but now Pro Football Talk says definitively that Matt Light is retiring, citing a source.
They did.
And I think we've all assumed it. I mean, even Mr. Kraft pretty much alluded to it when he said something to the effect, nothing's been official, I'll let Matt talk or whatever.
Yeah.
But Matt Light himself did not say definitively, but it looks like you're going to have Nate Solder at left tackle. Protecting Tom Brady.
It'll be interesting to hear from Matt, like, what exactly are his reasons for hanging it up right now? Because, like we all said, he had arguably one of his better seasons last year.
Maybe that's it. Go out on top.
Go out on top.
Don't limp out, because then if you limp through this year, should I come back one more time to try to go out on? And then, you know, I know he's not that old. I think he's 33, which is not that old for an offensive lineman,
isn't.
Certainly. 11
right.
years is not a super long career in the NFL.
Right.
But I think he's also a guy, he's battled some injuries over his career, literally battled them, you know, fought through them, played, had some issues. We know he has a digestive issue. He works hard. I think he's going to be a guy that when you see him in 6 or 8 months, he's going to be 225, 230 pounds. He's going
right.
to drop a lot of weight that he carries because he's an NFL offensive lineman.
Right.
So maybe there's just, you know, not that commitment to want to do that year round anymore. You
I
know,
guess.
He has a family. He's a very smart guy.
It's
a lot
to
of
give
interest.
Up that money, though.
Well, I tell you, he's going to have the opportunity if he wants to get in the media. He's
well,
a very smart, funny, articulate
that's
man.
That's what I was leading this to, is maybe he has an offer.
Could be.
You know?
Maybe. And, you know, if you can make, you know, he's not going to make, I believe he made $6 million last year, maybe $7 million. He's not going to make that, but if he can make
$2 million and
yeah,
a million and save his health.
You know, only work and not get hit in the head by anybody. And, you know, he has his other interests. He's very much obviously involved with the Light Foundation here and in Greenville, Ohio, I think wherever it is in Ohio.
Yeah.
I just, you know, I could see why he'd want to go out on top. And ideally, he would have won the Super Bowl and gone out on top.
Maybe he goes and coaches at Purdue.
Who knows? You know? I don't think so. I don't think he loves football.
Really?
I don't think he's a football lifer where it's just in his blood.
Yeah.
I think he enjoys playing the game and being with the guys and competing, but I'm not sure he wants to go recruit and just, you know, be totally dedicated to the sport.
So where does that leave the offensive line? If let's assume he's out.
Right.
So now left tackle is Nate Solder's job.
Nate Solder's job, you have to assume. You drafted him number 17 for a reason.
Right.
It was to fill that job. It's now.
Okay. Mankins is hopefully back from his surgery.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
If not, then...
Big question, though.
But I think you're fine filling in. The big hole becomes if Waters retires, too. Because I will take my chances with either Gallery or Conley starting at left guard for 6 weeks.
And now that Copen's back,
especially
he's your center.
Yes.
Right.
Or even Conley at center, Gallery at left guard for 6 weeks. Because I know Mankins will be back. But if you lose Waters for the season, if he retires, now I'm not feeling so good about Waters and Mankins both being out for a month or 6 weeks early to start the year. Because again, if I have Mankins at left guard and I put Conley at right guard, okay, I'm
good
again. But
right.
If I'm filling both for a month or two, I don't feel as good about it.
But now we see why it was important to get Copen back.
Right.
Because they knew this was coming
down the pipe.
Do
you want to take some of it?
Yeah, let's go. Let's go to Nick Caceres, see what he's up to.
We've always felt that we'll take the best player that we feel is on the board and that fits for us.
Is there a number of players that you'd like to have in place for the rookie camp?
I don't think we've quantified that. I mean, it's varied year to year. Some years we've had more, some years we had less. You know, it's contingent upon how many picks you have, how many players you end up signing at the end of the draft. So, I mean, that varies year to year. So, I mean, we don't really say, okay, we need X amount of players for our rookie camp. To my knowledge, no. It's strictly for rookies, whether drafted rookies or rookie free agents.
You know what?
Sign.
I'm going to make the executive decision that we can't get the questions anyway. So this whole press conference will be available on Patriots.com in its entirety with the questions on Patriots.com. And Eric will be back in a little bit, and he'll fill us in case anything news breaking happened during it. But I don't think it's that good.
Sorry for that, Freddie.
That's okay. No, it's not your fault. We got to get that question thing done. I know that Chris can pick it up for the web, but on the internal feed here that we're grabbing this from, we got to figure out how we can get the questions.
I agree.
So it's just too much dead air there, and you don't know what question he's answering. So that's not good radio content.
And let's be honest, no offense to Nick, but I doubt this press conference is going to be good radio content. It's going to be limited information, a lot of generalities. You know, we're going to take the best player that we think fits our needs on the board or whatever. I mean, it's going to be a lot of vagaries.
But it would be good, like, even as it is nonspecific, to get his impression of, you know, what your ratings are compared to maybe what you've heard some other teams. Is it varied? Not specific people, but is it all over the board, or a lot of the teams in lockstep with each other as to how they're valuing and rating?
But I don't know that he knows that. I mean, he doesn't know how other teams are rating people.
You don't think so?
They use mock drafts to try to predict who other teams are going to take in some degree and what other teams' needs are and all that, but they don't know what anybody else is grading anyone. I mean, that's top secret stuff for all 32 teams.
So how about within the organization? Was there a lot of variance and they had to come to a consensus on some guys?
And a lot of that work is not done yet. They have not finalized their grades on a lot of guys yet. I mean, that'll be done in this next week, obviously, before the draft. And they know, basically, it's not like the grades change dramatically at the end, except maybe for a few cases, you know, Bruce Irvin, if he gets arrested again, maybe that change. But in terms of their abilities and their, you know, are they an NFL starter at this position or whatever, I don't think they're done, but I also don't think it changes a lot from their previous December grade or whatever.
It's hard to believe that the draft is next week.
Love it.
It's all of a sudden it's here.
Yes.
You know,
it's not all of a sudden. We've been working towards this.
And along those lines, if you have the Patriots smartphone app for Android or iPhone, you want to upgrade it if you haven't already, because we just launched our new draft section within the app that culls all the draft information that we have on Patriots.com, but also offers a special mini section that you can use on draft day to follow all the Patriots picks and all the draft rounds in their entirety. If you can't be by a TV or by, you know, listening to our show, you can certainly just follow the draft that way.
Or you can listen to our show on the phone.
You can, but sometimes you can't. You're doing something. You can't. You just need to. You can just, you know, check in every once in a while. It's a good way to do it.
There's nothing more important than our draft day shows. Nothing.
There really isn't, but, you know.
Because people need to hear you on Thursday night be disappointed in the pick, and then come back on Friday and say, I kind of understand it now. I see what they're doing. Because you know you'll do that. You've done it every year, right? You talk to some people.
Not every year,
and they
but there
kind
are
of
some
massage
years.
The situation.
Yeah, there are some
and
years.
You come back saying, oh, I love the pick.
After I learn more information, I keep an open mind.
Right.
I'm not a closed-minded person.
I'm not either.
I think a guy like Solder, as Andy would say, not sold.
Webradio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. We do have a lot of emails coming in. Any other news we want to get to before we get to
news.
Emails and phone calls and all that stuff?
I think the light is
the big
news.
The light is the big news since last Tuesday.
Other news is, you know, obviously the offseason program started. There are a lot of players in town. It sounds like Chad Ochocinco's in town. And now sounds like Tom Brady is actually in town.
As expected.
I'm not sure it was expected.
As expected by me.
Well, you always think, oh, he's going to be here. He's great. He works hard. Yeah, he used to.
No.
But I think that's interesting that for the first week officially here, Tom Brady is taking part in whatever or doing some bit of it. I think that's good. He's got all his new receivers. He can start to not throw with them, but build a rapport and bond. And
right.
Kind of get to know their personalities.
Is Brandon Lloyd in town? Do we know that?
My guess would, I do not know that, but my guess would be yes. Don't
well,
you think?
It's a good reason for Tom Brady to be
I
here.
Mean, the guy said all offseason he wanted to go with Josh McDaniels to New England. You're now allowed to be with Josh McDaniels in New England. Get
right.
your butt here.
Oh, and I hear next Tuesday's show we're going to have Will Allen.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that.
So,
another lively interview, hopefully.
Remind me to make that request for Josh McDaniels, though. I haven't done that.
Yeah, I'll remind you, because I want you to get the no.
Well, speaking of content, I did also get the green light on old scouting reports.
Nice.
And here's what I'm talking about,
it's
listeners.
It's going to be Ron Burton's.
No, what we're going to do, and we're going to do this after the draft, because there's a lot of stuff going right now. I don't want it to get buried. But once the draft is over, what we're going to do is publish some of the old Patriots scouting reports.
Actual
scouting reports. You're going to be able to read them as the scouts wrote them and as, you know, coaches read them. And then we'll have a little multiple choice underneath each one, and you have to guess which player of those choices the scouting report belongs to. And I think it might be neat just to kind of see how, you know, these guys were rated before they got drafted.
Yeah, I'm very much interested in this. I think it's going to be a very – even just to see the language and the way it's set up and all of that from your actual scouting reports, I think it's interesting.
So this will be after the draft we'll publish all these things.
It'll be fun.
Mostly because they don't have time to do it right now.
Nor should they.
Yeah.
They need to finalize their grades so they have people to pick.
No, I'm not talking about – I'm talking about our web people.
Oh, okay. Oh, God forbid. They're so overworked.
I was just waiting for the snarky comment. That's why I said that.
Had another classic Chris Ferreira the other day. We're doing slideshows for all the I'm putting up like my top 10 or 12 prospects or little write-up slideshows. Yeah. The first one I try to click on, it goes to number 3. It goes 3-2-1 and then goes 10-9-8. Chris, why is this? I don't know.
It's Chris Ferreira.
He
and
took
then
a
later,
swan dive off the Mystic River Bridge 3
it was,
hours ago.
Quote-unquote fixed. What'd you do? Nothing. It just fixed itself. That's just great.
All right. Let's see.
He's going to be mad at me, you know, for talking about that.
Our favorite cowboy from Alaska, Wyatt Dodge, writes in. He's actually in Anchorage. And he wants to know, is our running game good, bad, or what? Is Ridley Woodhead, and who's the starter? I'm confused. And should we consider trading up to 4 to get Trent Richardson? We, according to the NFL Network, we have the easiest season from last year. Does this give us a Super Bowl run or what?
No.
And finally, is Brady Brady's contract, like Elway's, cut in salary to win the big game. I don't know what that means.
I don't either.
Yeah. But first, you know, the I would say right now, Stephen Ridley is my starting running back.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't think there's really another option. Shane Vereen did nothing last year.
Yeah, and Danny Woodhead and Shane Vereen are fighting it out for that you know, third down kind of off, you know, back.
But, I mean, I have to think they're both going to be part of the committee. I mean, this is a team that's carried five-plus running backs.
No, absolutely.
They'll... Now you have three, sort of. I mean, you have no idea what Vereen is. He didn't really get on the field. And Woodhead is trending in the wrong direction, as much as you want to not say it. His last year was nothing close to the year before.
Not because of a lack of talent or a decline in talent. It was just, you know, situational game planning, and that's all. When he got his opportunities, he did well.
Didn't produce. Had no spark. Oh. Best game may have been his last game in the Super Bowl. Other than that, had a disappointing year. There is no doubt
about it. I like guys that show up in the biggest games.
Yeah, I like guys that show up every game. All year.
I don't think he had the opportunity. I'm not taking it away from Danny Woodhead. That's not to say that I think Shane Vereen should beat him out.
Yes.
You know, and that's what I'm
certainly
hoping
hope so.
For.
A second-round pick should beat out an undrafted
that's
Jag
what I'm hoping
off the streets.
For. I'm hoping for, you know, Shane Vereen to be the third down back.
But the running game is a work in progress. It is not good. It's complimentary at best. And I think you could argue it wasn't good at all for sections of last year. Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis, for as much as people love him and he had the touchdowns, didn't have a great year. 3.7 a carry.
Right.
Just wasn't nearly as good. Woodhead wasn't nearly as good. Ridley showed some spark, but then showed maybe some fumbling issues. They're going to add to this committee, whether it's in the draft, a veteran, you know, a Jackie Battle is a name we've thrown out there. I did kind of throw the name Steven Jackson out because... Yeah. The rumors that if Trent Richardson makes it to six, that the Rams could draft him.
And Jackson says he has no problem with them drafting
Trent
Richardson.
But he has the problem is a $7 million salary for this year. So any team that was trying to acquire him, I mean, he's an injured running back, a little older, so the injuries could become more of a concern.
Yep.
The Patriots are not going to bring a guy in at $7 million a year at running back. It's just not going to happen.
You don't think so?
No.
What about renegotiating once he's here? You know?
Maybe, but don't you think somebody might... I don't think there'll be a huge market for a $7 million guy, but somebody might be willing to accept the contract.
Yep.
I don't know. I just don't see the dream of Steven Jackson making much sense.
The email talks about trading up to four to get Trent Richardson. No way.
Yeah, I mean, you're basically talking about trading both your ones, both your twos, something like that, to get up there.
Yeah.
I think that would get you to right around four. Yeah. I don't see any way Bill does that. I would just be stunned.
Mike in Springfield says, when you guys were talking with Gerard Mayo the other day, he mentioned about playing video games on his own time, but it got me wondering if the current players, at least up until last year's squad, still played dominoes in the locker room together. I always thought that was a good sign of cohesion among the players. Are there other activities similar to this that you guys may have witnessed?
Well, they do not play dominoes anymore in the locker room.
Well, not in that main room.
No.
They might in the back.
Right.
Yeah.
But they used to do it out in the main room.
Right.
They do not do that. There were a couple games. It was dominoes and what's that triangle up and down
thing?
Backgammon.
Yep.
But no, I have not seen that for the last year or two. They do a lot of stuff together. I mean, they're like little kids.
Yeah.
You know, you'll see them huddled around a laptop watching like a funny YouTube video and there's five or six guys just hooting it up. I mean, they're close. The offensive linemen all go out to dinner on some night a week.
Yep.
I mean, last year, certainly, locker room was not an issue. It was a very good locker room.
Yeah.
And I think they've done a good job of that, rehabbing what may have been a bit of a fractured locker room in the past.
Yep. Webradiopatriots.com, 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's see. We've got one from... Dan the Bye Man. He said, excited about the new season. By looking at the schedule, we may be looking at another 16-0, but that's nothing compared to a Super Bowl title. Needless to say, I am confident that we will have no less than last year's record. Comparing to last two Super Bowls, our defense had played above the average of each of those seasons. Our biggest problem, pass rush, was able to get to the passer, Manning. It really took the Giants the greatest performance to best us. To me, it is the offense that let us down in both games. Yes, we now sow such a good receiving core. I don't know what that means. Can they be dependent on when the situation arises? I don't want to say life and death moment, but it is. I don't know. I just can't. Dan, I don't know what you're doing here. Is Brady not as tough or resilient as Manny? What does that mean? Football is a team sport. Defense plays by the entire unit, not one or two players. Although adding an elite pass rusher will improve your team, if he or the unit doesn't perform in the moment, it all means nothing. They need to draft that kind of guy. With all that said, who do you think in the coming draft will fit that or my type? So I think basically what he's saying is that the Giants rose to the moment, whether it was 07 or even mm-hmm. this, you know, they rise to the moment.
Playmakers.
Yeah.
It's what we've dubbed playmakers.
Sort of like what Danny Woodhead did. He rose to the moment.
Yeah, I guess. Are they better suited for that? Yes. I think Brandon Lloyd makes the offense better suited. They now have another guy who I think can make plays. You know, he's a guy that always has a high, you know, average per catch, can get down the field a little bit, can come make some spectacular catches. But defensively, no. I don't think they're any closer to that. And I know this guy is saying offensively that the offense has been kind of held in check the last two Super Bowls. And that's true. I mean, that is true. You had an offense that was a 30-plus points per game that wasn't anywhere near 30-plus points. But I think this offense this year would have been better with Gronkowski healthy.
Oh, yeah.
I think he was a developing weapon who can show up against man coverage, can just flat out win a battle. But because he was hurt, he was limited.
That was a killer. Couple notes from Jay on things that we were just talking about. He says Ben Jarvis Green Ellis had no breakaway speed. His longest run of the year was 18 yards. He also says Brady can throw with the wide receivers right now. It just can't happen with coaches present.
Right, but I don't think there's going to be a lot. I think the biggest thing right now is just
right.
kind of being together more so than got to run all
he
year.
He also routes. Says the War Room, which is the Michael Holly book, describes how Patriots were intent on taking Steven Jackson and narrowly lost out on a trade that would have gotten him. Wilfork and Jackson would have gotten them Wilfork and Jackson in the first round. That would have been quite a coup.
Yeah, I knew they liked him. I liked him. You know, that was back in the day when we were all saying they need a running back. They need a running back. They need a running back. But now, scared to death of older, injury-prone running backs making $7 million. There's a lot to not like about that situation.
508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. Let's go to it right now. Orlando's in Springfield. Hey, Orlando.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? How's it going?
What's up, Bo?
We're just trying to keep the flame burning here in the off season.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, first off, man, before I get started with anything else, man, I got to say, man, the last show was fantastic.
What was so good about it?
Oh, I'm going to tell you. It all had to do with Eric. We all start talking about Eric's, like, personal life and that whole, like, trip to France or something he was going to take, man. That stuff is, like, I'm literally, like laughing out loud. It's so funny. And you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, maybe a year or two ago when you guys cornered him. Some emailer came in and said, hey, I heard you paint, like, naked women. And, like, you remember that?
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God. That was, like, literally, I'm, like, in the car listening to it on my iPod, and, like, I'm, like, literally, like, just laughing in traffic. And he's, like, oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. And then eventually you guys, like, pulled it out of him, and you didn't let it go for, like, a month.
I have no formal artistic training.
See, that's, Eric is, you know, he doesn't mean to be, but he's a great source of comedy.
Oh, yeah.
Because he's so unwilling.
Unintentional comedy. Right. He's very high on that.
Yeah.
But Orlando, are you laughing with him or at him?
Both. I like the dude. I mean, I think he's a great guy and everything, but and it's a shame that all these great moments have to come at his expense. But if not him, who? You know what I mean?
That's right. We all got to know our role.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Listen, guys, with Waters, like, let's say Waters doesn't come back, okay? Like, I mean, he hasn't said either or if he's going to retire yet, has he?
No. Right. There is still doubt.
Okay, so, all right, going into the draft, what do you think the Patriots do at this point? Like, they haven't heard from him, right? We just lost Light. What do you think? Do you think they go after a guard in the second or third round or maybe even the fourth? Or do they just say, you know, we'll wait? You know what I mean? Is that like a pressing priority to get a guard in there now? Or are they willing to just kind of hold off and see what happens?
Well, there was a time when we said they would never draft a guard in the first round, and then they drafted Logan Mankins. But I think they could wait till the fourth round to get a guard and be happy with that.
I think there's only a couple. I mean, the DeCastro kid out of Stanford is considered a high first round pick. Kahn's, the center out of Wisconsin, everybody is kind of saying he's the best center, so maybe he'll be a first round pick. I don't think there's a ton of elite players. Cordy Glenn is a guy that's kind of seen as a tackle slash guard who might be, you know, down a little bit. But I think they should wait. I think they can get a third or a fourth round guard. They have guys. They got Conley and Copen back. So that gives you two starting caliber players in the middle. You have Gallery, who's a, you know, for whatever bust he was, he's a starter in the NFL where he's been. I don't think it's a huge pressing need when you look at the type of needs you have on defense.
You know, and that's the thing about Gallery is, you know, he came in as supposedly a blue chip tackle, never lived up to that. And so he's kind of had that cloud over his head. But for all we know, he's been a perfectly good guard
right.
who doesn't have the credibility because he came in supposedly this tackle. But he could be as good a guard as anybody that we've been mentioning.
And we also know somebody's going to come out of nowhere. Copa or one of these guys that are, you know, on the practice squad, developmental types, they always have one of those that's better than we expect them to be. So he'll be in the mix as well.
Right.
All right, excellent. All right, guys. Hey, keep up the great work, man. The show is as good as always, man.
Thank you, Orlando. Appreciate that.
You know what I found was interesting? We have our own little prostitution scandal with Eric, and then the Secret Service has their little prostitution scandal. Did you see
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I did see that.
Was it Columbia?
Unbelievable.
So prostitution scandals are the talk of the town
you know,
these days.
Is it really a scandal anymore? Because I actually was talking to my wife about Eric's trip to France and that we had suggested that the first thing he should do is stop by a brothel.
You talked to Nikki about that?
And get the pipes clean. And she's like, you know what? That's a good idea. So she's,
your wife said that?
Yes.
Get out of here.
She thought it might not be a bad idea.
I don't believe Nikki said
that. I swear to God. I swear.
Get her on the phone.
I swear.
Get her on the horn.
She said that's not a bad idea. Prostitution is one of the oldest professions in the world.
I thought it was the oldest,
right? It might be the oldest. Other than like waiting on people, that might be the oldest.
That is kind of waiting on people.
It is kind of.
It's the service industry.
Yeah. It's in
literally.
You know, so
I can't believe Eric's
here. We tried to go to Nick Caserio's press conference, but we weren't getting the questions, and it was just kind of really, you know, you have a lot of dead air. And then
well, first,
you know,
he didn't know anything about it. Kevin was like, "What? We're doing
yeah,
what?"
Yeah, I guess that's my fault. I didn't tell him that today Nick Caserio was doing.
So you didn't bother taking.
We said, you know what? We'll wait till Eric gets back, and we'll find out from him what he said.
Okay.
Not much.
Not a whole lot.
Yeah.
But you know they wrapped up their player visits, he said yesterday. But they still have a week left before the draft. They can go and pay visits to players. They can't bring players in anymore. But
okay.
If they have a last minute thing, Nate Solder was an instance of that last year.
Yep.
Dante, I believe, went out to Colorado.
Yep.
Worked him out in that week leading up to the draft, and that finalized their decision on whether or not they were going to take him. If he was there, and that's what they did. A little bit of trade talk. He was asked if they're going to try to fill up those empty fifth, sixth, and seventh round spots that are vacant right now, and he didn't say definitively, obviously, but the inkling I got was I'd be surprised if they don't make moves and pick up some spots down there. Maybe not all three rounds, but they'll probably fill some of those vacancies.
Okay.
It sounds to me
so,
like.
Look for that.
Yeah. He was asked to characterize the draft overall, and his first thing was kind of what he said at the combine too, which was it's very junior heavy. There's a lot of that has affected how this draft has shaped up, and he talked a little bit about how they like to look at production a lot of times more than combine numbers, but with juniors you have less production to look at.
Sure.
You know, but they've taken risks like that with guys like Gronkowski, who had very little production at Arizona before they took him, was asked briefly about Matt Leit's future and how instances like that might affect whether or not you're going to draft a certain position, and he kind of skirted around that because he didn't want to talk about, you know, Matt Leit because Matt hasn't made any decisions yet. Character issues being a concern with players that they look at, and that's one of the reasons why they make a lot of these last-minute visits is to try to get... you know, a final gut feeling.
Right.
And he said he's actually, I thought was interesting, said that a lot of times they've called a player on something last minute, and he said, his words, they lie to your face.
Really?
And that is certainly a determining factor, I think, in whether or not they're going to draft a player because...
Yeah, that's not good.
Did
no,
he give us...
He didn't
not
give any
player,
specific...
But,
no.
No, but not the player, but a kind of thing that they would ask him that someone would lie about?
No. No. My guess is...
How many kids they have?
Well, my guess is it could be drug-related because somebody did bring that question up, or just, you know, arrests for other sort of...
Yeah, I mean, you got to be really dumb because these guys have access to everything these days.
Yeah.
So why lie? Just be.
And everybody has more access to everything with the internet age and searches and computers and.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure they have like private detectives that can drum up anything. Yeah. I would think honesty would be the best. Even though you may have some real skeletons.
Right.
Tell them you have skeletons. Mm. Don't let them find out you have skeletons.
Right.
He also said that they have at times initiated trade calls, but mostly just to gauge in general a team's interest in wanting to trade.
Right. And along those lines,
yeah.
Did he talk about how often they want to do something, whether it's moving up or down, and they just can't because they can't find a willing partner?
He didn't really say specifically that, you know, he didn't give any specific examples, but he says that it's the typical answer we get every year. Those things work themselves out as the draft unfolds. We don't know going in whether or not we want to trade up or down or
but
whatever.
But I'm even talking within the 10-minute time frame. We really want to do something. We can't find anybody to do it with.
No.
Sounds like Eric.
that's pretty much all the main topics.
So they're trading down.
Big crowd?
At some point, I would think they were. Not huge. Maybe a dozen or so, 20 maybe at the most.
That's because
various cameras and reporters.
No offense to him, but that's because it's Nick. If it was Bill,
if it was Bill, there probably would have been more.
You would have three times as many people there.
Probably.
So, would you trade one of those first rounders for a first rounder next year and a fifth and a sixth this year?
Potentially.
It depends.
I don't love the draft. I've fallen out of love with it. The closer we get, the less I'm in love with it.
It depends, though.
Sounds
I mean,
like we're going to need a lot of 5-hour energy.
Well.
The new one.
If
Max,
let's say, I mean, there's always a dropper.
Right.
Right? We agree that there's always somebody who you say, wow, I can't believe he's still on the board.
Yeah, but
if that guy
27
is
27-31, he'd have to be a plummeter.
But that has happened before. That has happened before. And if, you know, guy like.
Let's look at the pass rushers recently. Daquan Bowers.
Yes.
And the guy I wanted out of Texas.
Who
fell down the stairs.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Right.
He fell both
ways.
I mean,
those two
literally
guys.
Figuratively.
Kendall?
Kendall.
Yeah.
Sergio Kendall.
Those two guys both plummeted.
Yes,
like
they
said.
Did. They plummeted.
So, and Eric's right. Now, the issue is, are they plummeting
because,
really?
Well,
but are they even plummeting?
Well,
I mean, Bowers plummeted because he was thought to be a number one overall pick.
Yeah.
Who, did he go in the second round? I don't even know where he went.
I believe he went in the second round or maybe even in the third.
Some other people, you know, Upshaw, you know, that we think is plummeting, quote unquote, is just going where everybody has him graded.
Right. Or you get an instance where, like last year, the Vikings took Christian Ponder. The Titans took
The domino effect.
Jake Locker.
Right.
So all of a sudden, teams are panicking and trying to get players at a position that they need. And it's not that a player is plummeting by any fault of his own. It's just that, oh, well, this team traded up to get this guy, or this team made a ridiculous pick that nobody expected. And all of a sudden, a guy becomes available. If that's the case with, let's say, a Barron or a Merciless, and all of a sudden they're down at 20, 21... Then I think you want to keep those two picks because there's some talent at positions you need. So why bother waiting for the future when you can make a move now?
That's
always
been
the
argument.
The deal. I mean, they got a steal of a deal last year. If you can get a 1 and a 2 and you don't really love anybody, you know, I didn't love Mark Ingram. I may have taken Wilkerson that the Jets took, but I'm not sure I was 100% in love. But I mean, the more you look at that trade, you got a 1 and a 2 for that pick and you had another pick. You had, you know, Dowling. That 33 right on the horizon. This year, if you want to trade 27, you have 31 right on the horizon. Mm. Maybe next year's a better draft. Maybe, I mean, I know we all bristle at the idea because it's been done so much.
Yeah.
It forces us, but
why do
you
I
also
get the
have
sense,
to see
though,
the reason in it.
I know last year we all loved the pass rush position in general.
Right.
We thought that was the strength not only of the draft, but it might have been the strongest of its kind in a long time, that the pass rush group.
And we were right.
And we were right. But It seems to me like the last few years we've said this isn't a good draft. When it's gotten to this point in the process, we've said, oh, I don't really like this draft. I think we've said that quite a bit recently.
And it depends on what you need. Like, I would say this might be a pretty good wide receiver draft. Not great. I'm not sure there's a Calvin Johnson or A.J. Green. But now you're hearing that, you know, Floyd could go in the top 10. So you have two guys going in the top 10, maybe another two or three guys going in the first round. And I mean, there's certain positions sometimes, but overall, I don't love this draft. I've liked others more. Well, I liked last year's more.
I think
maybe it was because
I think
of the past.
There's a lot of there's a few factors I think that contribute to drafts not being looked at as strong. And I think the more and more you get these young kids coming out early, I think it decreases, you know, the drafts. You know, now in this year, it you know as far as quarterback, you have the quarterback of, you know. Of decades.
Possibly two. Possibly two.
Right. Yeah. So that strengthened it from that. But then there's that big drop off after those two guys.
And you have a franchise tackle.
Right.
Which everybody seems to think is
And then you get a guy like Trent Richardson who maybe 10, 15 years ago, if a guy like him was coming out, there'd be a lot more clamor than what we're hearing now because the role of the running back in the league has decreased.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's interesting.
Well, there's a lot of trend. Like we talked with Mayo. You know, inside linebackers, A, it's a hard position. The success hasn't been there in the top 10. But B, the league has changed.
Right.
You know, do you want an inside linebacker in the first round? You know, in a league where 65% of the time they're throwing the ball and they're.
Right.
So it goes in waves and trends and.
Yeah.
But I also just think when you look at it, there's a lot of questions. There's a lot of questionable talent. You know, one thing I thought of, Whitney Mercilus is a guy that I kind of like, but he's a one-year wonder. There is no arguing against he's a one-year wonder. Would you rather have a guy who had an injury question, and that's why he was, you know, Gronkowski, he didn't play the whole year. He was good before that, but he didn't play the whole year. Or would you rather have a healthy guy who just out of nowhere was a one-year wonder?
Well, I mean, was he a one-year wonder and he was playing in those previous years? In other words, like, was he just a nothing, nobody? But he was on the field,
that's
and he wasn't
what Mercilus is,
and he wasn't producing.
He didn't have
well.
An
the bottom line,
or did he not have an opportunity?
Why is he a 1 year wonder? Right.
Well, because like some schools are known for, like Penn State used to be a school where you weren't playing as a freshman, no matter how good you were, because that was the thing. Seniors play, older upperclassmen play, freshmen wait their turn. Was it a situation like that where he was just behind too much talent, like at USC? There's plenty of talent at USC or even Alabama. So a guy might only have 1 year because that's all he ended up getting a chance to play.
And that happens a lot there. I mean, the Tyron Smith, why is he a right tackle? Oh, because Matt Khalil's really freaking good at left tackle. You know, but I don't think there are really any of those answers for Mercilus. He's just kind of a, you could say he got it. Maybe he started trying. Maybe he said, you know what? This is my junior year. If I have a good year, I can go to the NFL and make some money. You know, it could be anything.
Or would you rather have a guy who was proven and then got hurt
like,
and, didn't,
like
and dropped off?
You know he's an NFL talent, but he missed a whole year with an injury. Or Sam Bradford. I mean, there's guys.
I think it depends on how talented and how productive he was.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of it. And your medical clearance. I mean, whether your doctor says, okay, that was a one-time thing, he's done.
Yeah.
You know, he tore his ACL or he had this surgery and it's done. Or... year four, this could be an issue. Year three, this could be an issue. Mm. There's so many variables, and you hate to sound like Bill and say, well, you know, all things are never equal. And,
but it depends on the situation. And
all things are never equal.
There's a million. Yeah. This guy transferred. This guy's had injuries. This guy is this. And you have to consider all of that when you take a draft in.
Yep.
You know, who are safe prospects, quote unquote. Well, is there really a safe prospect that you take in the first round? If he sucks, he wasn't safe.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Ken is in North Carolina. Hey, Ken.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Great.
What's up?
Pretty good. By the way, I think there was a movie back in the 60s called The Oldest Profession that relates to your show last.
Okay. You still with us?
Anyway.
Okay.
That's unimportant. You know, I was kind of disappointed to hear that Matt Light had... tired.
Well, he still hasn't announced it officially,
but all the writing is
but
there.
It looks like it's going to happen.
I think very unfortunate. And you know, I know it was sort of front end loaded last year, and I can understand you know, why he wanted to call it quits. But you know what? Actually, I think this Solder, I thought he played damn well last year.
Yeah.
For a rookie. And I was hoping he would get one more year with Matt Light before he got turned loose. I think he's going to do an okay job.
I do, too, and I think he surprised a lot of people with how many different things he did. It's not just that he played...
He was very versatile.
Yeah, it's not just that he played one position.
That's correct.
He played every game at almost three positions sometimes.
Correct, and started 13.
Yeah.
Yep.
Which, for a rookie is very impressive.
And from day one.
From day one, basically, yeah.
He had Cameron Wake, who was a potential defensive player of the year type candidate on that path. And from day one, Solder, you know, kind of met the test. Now, it'll get tougher.
He made a couple of boo-boos.
And everybody does. I mean, Matt Light has given up plenty of sacks in his life.
I mean, nobody does everything perfectly.
But it's just...
Especially your rookie year.
Right. But Light brought a sense of stability that you've had in the Brady era. I mean, he was Tom Brady's left tackle. That's gone, and that's a little bit of a scary proposition.
I agree with you 100% there, man, 100%. And I was hoping, you know, one more year with that stability in there with him behind Light.
Yeah, but let's look at it this way, too, Ken. Matt Light started as a rookie. He had no one to lean on back then either.
That's right.
And
everybody's got to get their chance.
And what we learned there, they took the quarterback off on a stretcher.
And I just hope, like...
Had nothing to do with Matt Light.
I didn't say it was related.
Ballmer is healthy.
Yeah, keep your fingers crossed on that.
Yeah. I think they need to have plan
I've
B
got
also
yeah.
ready.
Questions on him.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions, and you may see multiple guys at that right tackle spot again.
I think that is correct, and I'd be more concerned about that right tackle spot than the left tackle.
I agree with you. Yeah.
I'm not sold on Cannon.
I'm impressed with him in that he has overcome some huge obstacles physically.
And I'm willing to give him the benefit of the doubt on that too, because like Solder, Cannon played a hell of a lot more than I expected. I really thought that he was not just a PUP, but an IR guy. I really didn't think they were going to – I figured they would just say, you know what, cancer, that's a pretty big thing to try to overcome. It might be too much. Just take this year off. We'll see you in 2012. But he not only came back, he ended up contributing. I think he's got a start or two.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe
yeah,
even towards the end there. And, you know, I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt that he didn't really have a full – not only did he have a full off season because of the lockout, he had his health issues – and he was thrown into the fire almost right away, had to play.
Right.
I'm willing to cut him a little more slack.
All right, Ken, thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Good call. Let's take a break, but before we do, I'll throw out a question. Matt Light, Patriots Hall of Fame someday? Let's talk about that when we come back.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never been owned before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account,
Better Banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Gentlemen, there's nothing special about tonight. Tonight's underrated. Tonight is free of expectations. Tonight you can't be disappointed. It's just another night. That's why tonight could be the greatest night of your lives. It's on nights like tonight when you take a sip of that ice-cold Budweiser and jump on stage. It's when you stay up until the sun comes up. It's when you end up at a party when you don't know a single person who's carrying you on their shoulders. Gentlemen, you were conceived on a night like tonight. So crack open a crisp, cold Budweiser. Put on your Saturday night outfit and make tonight the greatest night of your life. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds.
Please drink responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
And now, story time with Fred Kirsch.
I had this dream. I was in this, it was sort of like a cafeteria setting with big glass windows. And a lot of people there were people that we worked with and like on the travel party. So we're looking and there's this weather coming and it's like dark clouds and it turns into this tornado. So I'm like, everybody get away from the windows. We get away from the windows and trees are coming down, but luckily nothing happened. So then that passes and then we decide that, okay, dinner is coming soon, but a lot of us wanted to work out after dinner, so this cafeteria turns into a hotel. And now a lot of us have to go up in the elevator to get our gym stuff, because after we eat, we're going to work out. So we get in the elevator, and it's a bunch of people, and one of them's Gino. And Gino has no pants on, Gino Capoletti. And his unit is attached to his hip.
Hello.
And it was like,
hello.
It was like a weird deformity, like that no one ever knew about, but there it was. It's like, and my thoughts going through my mind was, how does he like explain that to women?
Why are you having dreams about Gino's unit?
Thanks,
it was attached to his hip.
I don't care where it's attached. Why are you thinking about his unit?
I don't know. It was just a weird dream.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
Next week, you're going to tell Gino this story, right? Please.
No. And you better not bring it up either. All right, back here in PFW in progress. We're talking about the draft, talking about Matt Light possibly retiring. That's what the reports are, although we haven't heard it directly from Matt Light's mouth. But I threw this out before the break, just something that occurred to me. Would he go into the Patriots Hall of Fame at some point?
Yes, probably.
You do think so?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So basically anyone that played during this era goes in.
No. Anybody who played consistently.
He was an all-pro left tackle and a five-time Pro Bowler, four-time Pro Bowler.
So Kevin Falk goes in?
Yes. Yeah, I've already said I think so. Kevin Falk is the poster child for the Patriots Hall of Fame for this mm-hmm. era. Tremendous.
Hard not to get
Dan
him
Dan Copen?
No.
No?
Although he was an all-pro.
He was an all-pro right. once.
And a one-time right? Pro Bowler, I think.
Right. That one year, the 2007, right?
He rode the 2007 gravy train.
Yeah.
Matt Light did not.
Okay.
You don't think he should be?
I don't know. I just
Is he better than Bruce Armstrong?
No.
Really?
No.
Okay, then maybe he shouldn't be. Bruce Armstrong's not, right?
No, his number's retired, I think.
Yeah, I know, but is he in the Hall of Fame?
Patriots Hall of Fame, yeah.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, he was in there.
Was he in the first?
He was one of the guys that was already in that when they opened up, he automatically was in.
Oh, because he had his jersey retired?
and he was in the old Hall of Fame, quote unquote.
What? Okay.
I'm pretty sure the guy's number is retired.
If he's not,
I know
he
his number is retired. No, he's in the Hall of Fame.
He should be. I think he should be if he's not.
Yeah.
Don't you?
Yeah, he is. He is.
I mean, you think he's worthy, though, right?
Bruce Armstrong?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
You think he's way better than Matt Light?
Bruce Armstrong was like a Pro Bowler like 7 years in a row or something like that.
Yeah, whoop-de-ding-dong. Yeah.
No, I know. A lot of linemen, you know, but you know,
was he
was really
pro?
Good. I mean, some of his battles with Bruce
he
Smith
must have been.
Were legendary. And,
yeah, but Matt Light's had some pretty good battles with, you know, Dwight Freeney and
Jason Taylor.
And didn't always win them. I'm not pretending he never had his sacks.
He was weird that way. He'd go hot and cold. Against some of the most elite rushers, he would stifle them. And then others, they would just run right past him. It was weird.
But I think he's a team Hall of Famer. Not, you know, first ballot necessarily.
No, it might take a while, but
okay.
I think eventually he'll get in.
I have very high standards. You know, I think a lot of guys that are in there shouldn't be.
So you wouldn't have a yearly class?
Not always. Not always. I mean,
yeah, it would depend on.
It depends on who's eligible.
Who's out there. Yeah.
You know, I don't think you shoehorn people in just because.
Would you do it more like baseball, where they don't necessarily have a set number either every year? Where
you could have more than one year, maybe. Yeah,
because especially at this era when these guys start retiring, there's going to be years where you could drag this out for a long time, or you could just get a bunch of them done at once.
Right. You know, there's something to be said about dragging it out because there's going to be lean years as well.
Right.
You know?
But I just, yeah, I think Matt Light, in the long run, 11-year career protecting Brady, multi-time Pro Bowler and All-Pro, 3 Super Bowl rings, a lot of very good seasons, even this year. I mean, he had a great year this year. I think you can definitely make an argument for him in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
Okay.
Tough grader.
Peter from Denmark writes in, I just saw your recently three-headed monster mock draft. Looks interesting, but a couple questions. What is Matt LaPan's draft knowledge, and why is he the man of the people? I thought that was Andy. Are we dubbing Pepe the man of the people?
That's what we called him.
When did he get the nickname Pepe?
Pepe LaPan.
Because we've been calling him Flash for months. All of a sudden he's Pepe?
Down in the video department, they started calling him Pepe.
Oh, Matt Smithism.
Yeah,
oh, okay.
Pepe Le Pen. Actually, it was a Bob Doyle came up with that.
Oh, really?
So instead of Pepe Le Pew, Pepe Le Pen.
All right, that works.
You might ask him about your trip to Paris because he's obviously Le Pen.
Right, yeah.
But he has no credentials. I mean, that's why I called him the man of the people. But he's been working hard, doing some research. He put together his own mock. I wanted to include him.
He wants
he's
to be
part
involved.
Of the family.
Yeah.
Also, Peter wants to know, why on earth does Brian Lowe have us drafting a center? We just signed Connolly. I know he's not Nick Mangold. But who says Cons is going to be?
Connolly he's not going to be.
Connolly turned in a very respectable season, and I don't see why we would need a center in the first round. Either Connolly is going to be fine for another 5 to 7 years, or he's going to suck, and then we can look for a veteran or a center in the later rounds.
Yeah, I was a little surprised at that pick, too.
He doesn't know what he's doing.
He should, though. Covers this team.
Not
the way
well.
We do.
Yeah.
Not the way we do. No one covers this team the way we do.
Well, he should know what he's doing.
And Cons is a borderline first-round pick at center. He's the best center, consensus best center in the draft. I don't think he's that good. He's not even anywhere near Nick Mangold in terms of.
But what if
center.
The Patriots do? What if they do think he is a Pro Bowl center for his career?
Then they'll take him if they think he's the best option. I mean, a couple years ago, they liked Wood, the guy that went
so
to
you
Buffalo.
So you're not ruling out because of position?
No.
Okay.
Because
that's
with
what
this
I'm
draft, I think there's only going to be a handful of good players available when you pick. I don't think it's a great draft. I don't think there's 5 Pro Bowlers on the board when they pick at 27.
That's what I'm just getting straight, that you wouldn't rule it out just because he's a center.
No,
I just don't
like him.
If your scouts think he is the guy, then you should pick him.
Mm-hmm.
Alex from Philly says, great interview with Mayo in the last show. He seems like he fits right in with you guys.
Yeah, he did.
I guess it's official now that Matt Light is retiring, even though we've speculated that for a while. I just want to say that he was probably the most underrated left tackle in the league. He protected the franchise well for a decade, and last year was probably the best football he ever played. I don't think he's a Hall of Famer, and I think he means the big one, but he did have a great career. Thank you, Matt Light. After looking at the schedule, I channeled my inner Fred and basically guaranteed 14 wins with the Ravens and 49ers as the 2 losses. I think we have a favorable schedule with the bye week in a perfect spot. I think we'll sweep the division, but if there's a slip-up, it will be to the Bills, not to the Jets or the Dolphins. Lastly, as usual, you guys always close the show with a bang. Last show, I couldn't stop laughing with you guys giving Eric tips on getting some action. I think Eric should join the Secret Service. I hear those guys get a lot of action.
I was telling Andy they should rename that department the Victoria's Secret Service. And, of course, Kevin's not paying attention to play the rim shot.
A lot of people really love that segment of the show, Eric, just so you know.
Yeah, we'll revisit it later today, probably.
Oh, do you have news for us? You made some reservations?
I'm not, you know, I don't like to talk about my personal life.
Can you make a reservation?
On this show?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But after Anthony's apoplectic tirade on the phone the other day, I thought it might be time to reveal some little bit of detail.
Oh, so
good job, Anthony.
So we're going to hear something a little
maybe.
Later.
Maybe. We'll see.
Yeah?
We'll see how it goes.
Okay.
Like the draft and Casario said, we'll see how this thing plays out.
All right. Well, let us know whenever you're ready, you know.
Yeah, but at least you get to make the decision.
Yeah.
He doesn't actually get to make the decision.
Nick?
Yeah. Another person, Sam in Chicago, says yesterday's show, I think he meant Tuesday's, was probably one of the best. As long as Fred is present to keep an even keel, the show does great. It definitely gets choppy when the captain is gone and Rumpelstiltskin or first mate Andy take the helm. Without Paul's, what do you mean by that? Or I see what you did. You button hooked me and I don't agree with you. The show didn't have to pull over for his tangents. I used to
think we lost the fat man. We were running lean.
Oh, it was one of them.
Yeah. I used to think Andy rubbed it the wrong way, but the whole French bit toward the end of Tuesday's show between you three was radio gold. Many thanks, and I just had a daughter a few days ago.
Hey.
She'll be grown on PFW.
Poor thing. I don't know if you want to do that.
But congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations, Sam.
That's great.
Keep her away from Eric. He likes him young.
Not that young. Yeah, I just made myself uncomfortable.
John and Lynn has a quick limerick. As a gentleman farmer, Fred flopped. Too costly after prices were shopped. Now relief fills the air from alpacas everywhere whose balls didn't need to be chopped. That's good.
That was actually good. It was in perfect meter and everything. Fred read it.
That one's actually good.
John is actually getting better at this.
Yeah. Well, he said that was the last one, so.
Good.
He's going out on top like Matt Light.
508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline.
No, they didn't win the Super Bowl, Andy.
Alberto from Phoenix is on the line. Hey, Alberto, what's going on?
What's up, man? A big fan, man. I love what you guys do. It makes this offseason a little bit more bearable.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Thanks for listening.
Yeah. Have you guys, like, you've already looked at the schedule, I've already heard, but have you guys done any, like, predictions already? Or it's, like, way too early, I know, but.
You mean specific game-by-game predictions?
Sort of. Not necessarily like that, but just kind of like seeing like who's the real competition to look at.
Well, I did the schedule posting on the blog, I sort of gave my prediction for what the record would end up being, but I didn't go through each game and
what was
and
that?
Knock it out.
What was that, by the way?
I think 12-4 is a reasonable expectation with this schedule.
Yeah.
I don't see them going any worse than 10-6.
Yeah,
I usually start
losing a catastrophe would be like losing six games.
I start with 12-4. I mean, every year I feel like I just start with 12-4. There's a couple tough games on the schedule, and you say they win some. But just with Brady, I just look at that's where they are in the NFL hierarchy.
The problem is when I look at it, some of the four that I think they could lose were the four playoff teams from last year. I'm not saying they will lose those. I'm saying those are the toughest ones. Are
the only
ones,
scary ones.
The really scary ones that you are expecting to be tough are those four. And if they do lose those four, okay, they're a 12-4 team, but are they really worthy of being a playoff team?
That's a good point.
If they can't beat the playoff
teams. Would you rather have them slip up against a lesser team and beat those teams that you're going to probably face in the playoffs? I think I would.
I'd at least like to put break even with those.
Yeah,
those four.
I think I'd rather beat those teams and lose to a lesser team, as disappointing as that is.
Like Miami or something.
Right,
like,
but show your medal during the season against the good teams.
Yeah. Houston and San Francisco back to
back. I also think like it's a good thing that we got like Houston and San Francisco at home, because like I think it would be really tough to go to Houston and then or to San Francisco, but I'm real glad we got those at home.
Those are two big games to have.
I'm also not I'm not sleeping on Seattle either. No pun intended.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I was actually thinking, because I did one too. I kind of went a little bit, you know, I couldn't, I went past my bias, you know, I was like 14-2, is kind of like real close, you know. It's like real, I don't know how to explain it, like kind of, I kind of have a lot of confidence for us this year, you know. Like, we just went to the Super Bowl. I don't, like, we can lose a whole lot of people. Well, Matt Light, you know, yesterday. But
you do know there is a Super Bowl loser's curse, though, right?
Yeah.
So it's really difficult to even get back there if you've lost the previous Super Bowl.
But I would boil it down even less than that.
The AFC just, I don't know, it's not the same.
Yeah, right. That's a good point, Alberto. You have to look at the competition.
But aren't we all swayed by, they went to the Super Bowl, okay. But can we remember last October, November, the defense was terrible.
Yeah, but is it going to be worse than it was?
But well, it might be as bad.
If they don't fill certain holes.
And they lost a 10-sack guy. A guy who had 10 sacks.
A guy who had 10 sacks.
Didn't he lose like 2-sack guys?
Well, Carter could be back. I think there's a good chance Carter will be back.
But will he be back week 1 or week 8?
10-sack.
Right. He probably will not have 10 sacks this year. Because A, he may not play a full season, or B, he may not be as good. He's getting older. C, he doesn't have Anderson across from him. They seem to kind of get a little something going there kind of midway through the year.
Mm-hmm.
But I just go back to that. Like, it's easy to say, okay, they went to the Super Bowl. And that's right. Fred, that answer is always right. They did, in fact, go to the Super Bowl. But that defense was so bad. And so far, they've done little to change that.
I know. It was killing me in fantasy, man.
It's killing you in real life, too, for some games.
Yeah.
But
I know.
If they can add some talent on defense and things go the right way, if McCourty is back to being good, and sure, it could work. But
yeah, he kind of had like a sophomore slump. I was kind of shocked.
Oh, he had a sophomore falling off the planet.
Yeah, that's definitely true.
All right, Alberto.
Yep, have a good day. Yeah,
thanks for the call.
Thanks, man.
See you, Al. Now, Alberto's from Phoenix, and we have another caller from the University of Arizona. Derek is fighting a hangover. Derek, why were you so drunk last night?
I think he's fighting a sober spell. He's always drunk.
No. Kevin said I sounded hungover. Do I sound hungover to you guys?
No, more than usual.
Did you party like Rob Gronkowski last night?
Yeah, well, it's funny because I actually live at have you guys ever seen that YouTube video of him like dancing at that pool party?
Yeah.
On like the grill, by the grill and stuff?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, that's like 20 feet from me right now.
Nice.
So that's where I live. Yeah.
Got to keep an eye out. You never know when he's going to pop up and pate.
I know, yeah. Well, I think I told you about the story where I met him at a party a couple of years ago, didn't I?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, well, it's all right. He's kind of a douche, but it's all good. We had a good time.
Hey, we're all douches at various points.
Well, especially when you're the big man on campus, you know what I'm saying?
So right.
It happens. I mean, Eric, you wouldn't know about that, but it's cool. Anyway, so...
Derek, I've never been a big man. I'm only 5'7".
Hey, you guys talk about the draft, and I have a problem because we are a week away, and there is not one guy that we fixated on. I mean, we don't have a position. I mean, how am I going to we're going to sit there? We're going to be cool with everything that happened.
Stephen Hill.
I mean, we got like defensive line, linebacker, cornerback, safety. You know, running back, receiver, offensive line. Now, I don't think any of the offensive positions. I don't want any of those in the first round, but. I mean, I'm not really sure, like, what are you guys' thoughts on that? I mean, do you guys think they keep both picks or what?
No. I think they trade one of them out. I think they hope for either Whedon, that a team wants to jump into the first round to get Whedon, or maybe Kobe Fleener, if somebody thinks, well, the Giants are going to take him at 32, yeah. I got to get to 31 to take him. So I think there's a chance that one of those two players could be bait for a trade, kind of like Mark Ingram ended up being last year, and they got a very good deal out of it.
Right. But they did get a good deal.
But I do agree with you. It is funny how there is no – I think that's a byproduct of there's not a lot of talent that's elite that people expect to be available. And so it's, you know, do we take the fourth best pass rusher, the second best safety, the fourth best receiver, the – you know, there's just a lot of variables there in what I think is a weak crop of late first-round talent.
Well, it's funny because Fleener, I think, goes to either the Giants at 32 or the Colts at 33 if they want to get luck and, you know, a new target and replace Dallas Clark. But the Whedon thing is interesting because if they move, if say like the Browns, I think the Browns have 2 second-round picks.
Yep.
So it'd be interesting to see if maybe they want to move up and Bill moves back. And it's funny because we've all been like hating the idea of moving back, but it seems like if they take one guy, I'd like them to take four guys or at least 3 in the first 2 rounds. Because, you know, I think this team, you know, the team needs, you know, more top-tier talent.
Yes, I agree. I think I could see, though, the scenario you just painted there where if they collect a few extra second-round picks, then all of a sudden they're a little bloated in the second round, then they take some of those lower second-round picks and move those down for Bill's desired fifth, sixth, or whatever lower round picks. But they could trade.
I understand that. I mean, I just don't think that after you get past like 15 this draft, it seems from like 15, maybe even higher than that, maybe like a 11 or 12 to like in the mid 40s. It's just all about how you evaluate players, and there's just like there's a decent amount of like elite talent, but not a lot. And it just seems like a bunch of guys that could go really anywhere.
I agree. Yeah. The blue chippers are few and far between in this draft. Oof. And so that's why, as I said earlier, we're all opposed to the philosophy of always trading down, but sometimes it makes sense. And this seems like a year where it could definitely make sense.
Which means we'll trade up.
Right. But that also could make sense this year. If you think it's a thin draft and there's one guy you've targeted, go get him.
That would certainly make the fans at the draft party happy because they've been very disappointed in recent years.
What's one guy that you guys would love to come out of the first round with if we trade out of that second round spot? That's a realistic option.
Mark Barron.
If we trade out of the
really like 14 to us, I can see that happening.
I'd love to see them get Barron.
If we trade up, is that what you're saying?
To get,
No, I mean, just a guy. I mean, if you wanted to trade up, I just want to see one guy that you guys would be disappointed if we didn't get, or that you think that's like a realistic option.
Barron is a good one. I think if they don't get a top flight wide receiver either, I think I'll be disappointed. If they don't
But what's a top flight wide receiver in this draft?
For that pick, for like lower first round.
So you want a first round pick?
I would like to get a first round wide receiver.
But you could get a guy like Quick that I think could be very, very good and not in the first round.
I think you can get a starting receiver in the third round of this draft.
Turbin.
I do. I think that there's like a receiver that I think receiver and corner are two positions that you could get in like the second or third or fourth round that could be a starter by the end of the year.
I agree with you, Derek. That is very well said.
That's why I don't want a receiver in the first round. See, like a guy like I think the defensive end outside linebacker position, the talent is kind of overrated. But if I can go up and get a guy like Merciless, I'm not in love with Nick Perry, but I'd be okay with that. Or I'd love Upshaw. You know, if I get one of those guys early, then I can start looking at the defensive line, cornerback, receiver in that second round when there's kind of a bunch of guys. It just depends on your evaluations, and there could be some solid options there at 48 or higher if they trade back for 31, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, there's definitely options. The one thing I would say is like Stephen Hill, who Fred threw out there, he may be great. I mean, he has a lot of potential in terms of athletic ability, speed, jumping ability, and he's such an unknown. It's not that he failed. He doesn't had the opportunity to be a big play, you know, all the time kind of a prospect. He had 20-something catches. So if you think he's Randy Moss or, you know, close, you know, one of the top three receivers in football in 2 years, well, then no, you can't find the same guy in the fourth round probably. He's the guy.
All right. Thanks, Derek. Stop drinking so much.
Let's drink more.
Let's go to Oregon, who wants to know if we think Matt Leif will be doing TV work. Hey, Doug.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Good. So you have a question about Matt Leif?
Well, yeah. I was thinking that, you know, he's such an animated guy. He's so easy to talk to, and you enjoy sitting and listening to him talk. And I thought with him retiring after just going to the Super Bowl, maybe he's already got things in line for working with a network in some sort.
Well, that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the show is, you know, okay, I just came off one of my better seasons. It does, you know, we're all thinking, well, you know, why retire and give up all that money? But like you said, he might have something lined up, and that might make it an easier decision to retire.
And if he wants to, he'll find a job in the media.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think it'll necessarily be NFL related. I think with his outdoorsman
somebody might be offering him a show, ESPN.
Right,
he
could have
Charlie Moore, Matt Light,
those
kind of
things,
guy.
Hunting, fishing.
Yeah, those Saturday morning ESPN shows, I love them.
And I wouldn't limit him to that. Not that anyone's going to pay him, but I mean, if you've ever heard him talk about like polymers he went to Purdue. He has an engineering background. He is a very intelligent man.
And I'll tell you something, Matt Light's dad, he's one of those Renaissance men. He's like, he does everything well. He's a musician. He's an engineer. He's like a scholar, and so Matt takes after him a lot.
So he'll have a lot of options. He will not be a post football failure.
Would he make more money, you think, continuing to work in with the NFL instead of an outdoor show or something like that?
I don't think he'd make as much, but it might not be the battle every day to get out of bed that he's having. You know, we don't know.
Well, he's also not struggling for money either.
That's what my thought was too. Is that this would be so much easier for him to do something like that than, you know, to try to get back into train shape and everything else.
Right. So that might be all part of it.
But if money is the biggest thing, it'll be business. He'll go into some business ventures.
Yeah.
And that's where you make the most money. No one knows about it, and all of a sudden you just made $100 million or something.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, thanks, guys.
Okay, Doug.
All right, Oregon.
All right. Doug from Oregon.
I thought it was
he
Oregon.
He did introduce him as Oregon.
Oregon on the phone.
So Oregon's on the line.
Let's go now to North Carolina. We're traveling the continental United States. Eldridge is on the line. Hey, Eldridge.
Hey, fellas. How y'all doing?
Good.
Tremendous.
Randy Moss is still in San Francisco.
Well, actually, he's not in San Francisco. He didn't show up to work out. They're okay with it.
I already know that. I think our next Randy Moss is Stephen Hill. I'm hoping like crazy we do him in round 31.
So you're
in round 31 pick.
You're all over Stephen Hill.
He is a boomer bust prospect, no doubt about it.
Yeah, but I think he got the potential to be a Randy Moss. But like you said, they didn't use him that much in Georgia Tech. But
Now,
I saw at the pro day and combine, he looked pretty darn good.
He looks very good, but he's not going to be Randy Moss because Randy Moss was great whenever he touched
right. Randy Moss was great coming out of Marshall.
Coming out of high school.
Everyone knew.
He was Mr. Basketball and football. I mean, he was one of the greatest athletes that's ever lived. I mean, literally, if you put together a top 100, he's probably in it in terms of the greatest athletes in the history of the world.
Gifted.
You know, not near the top where Bo is, but he's on there.
I knew that was coming.
Terms of natural athletes,
but
he's up there.
Stephen Hill is a track jumper. I think he had a record long jump in high school. He's a pretty good athlete in his own right. With the potential to be a very good football player.
Okay. With Matt Light retiring, do you think they changed their draft philosophy?
No.
I
think what they've done so far in the offseason tells us they knew he was going to retire.
And I think they knew that a year ago, which is why they drafted two tackles last year, because I think they foresaw, whether it was this year or last year, that they weren't going to have Matt Light available.
And I think getting Gallery, re-signing Copen is all part of the Matt Light retirement.
Yeah, we got Copen back? I didn't know that.
Yes, we do.
Yeah,
he is back. Yep.
Similar contract to kind of what Light had. It's a two-year deal. Could be end up like a one-and-one kind of. Who
knows? The numbers I saw today, I think, were
like low money.
Like $850,000 base for this year, 1.1 or something
cap
million next year as a base. With a lot of incentives.
Yeah, I think the highest cap number in the 2 years is like 1.4. And he has game roster bonuses included, so he gets like, I don't know, $23,000 a game if he's on the roster or something. So certainly palatable deals.
I got two questions for you. I'm not impressed with Merciless because of that 1 year bust out and the bang out.
Yep.
But Branch, I would take Branch because I know we ain't going to get Ingram.
Andre Branch.
And we ain't going to get the other guy. And Mark Barron, they got him targeted either 15th or 13th.
I liked Andre Branch. I'm not necessarily willing to take him at 27 or 31, but I like him.
Who would you take at 27, 31 then?
Well, if he's there, I would take Whitney Merciless. I'm sorry. I know you don't like him as the 1 year wonder, but I like what I saw in that 1 year. And, you know, if he's there at either one, I would take him.
Fred, good question for you, man.
Okay.
If at 31, if Malcolm Floyd is there and Stephen Hill, who would you grab?
Malcolm Floyd.
Michael Floyd, excuse me.
No, Malcolm.
No, Malcolm is was a former San Diego Chargers receiver.
The kid from Notre Dame. That's who
Michael
I would take.
Floyd.
Michael Floyd. I would take him.
You take him over here?
I think he's more of a sure thing, as sure as you can get at that position.
He is probably more of a sure thing.
I thought about that too, but I think I still grab Hill.
You like his speed. It's intriguing.
Well, Floyd is intriguing too. Kuiper has him as one of his, like, could be a superstar if he gets it. Could be like the best player in this draft kind of guy.
Right.
If he gets
it. You know, I wasn't impressed by the Notre Dame quarterback, so I can't hold that against him. You know what I mean?
But he still had a lot of production.
No, he did. Even with that quarterback.
And then you think about he played for Charlie Weiss, so maybe there's a little carryover, makes a transition.
No, I like Floyd. I like what I saw out of the kid.
He probably goes top shelf for his margaritas like you.
Yep. So I would take Floyd over Hill at this point.
But he won't be around at 31. I mean, there's people saying he's going to be a top 10 pick now.
Really?
Floyd. Yeah.
Yeah, Floyd is. I keep hearing too.
He's a riser.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, all right, Eldridge. Okay, Fred, I got another one for you. 31.
Yep.
If Malcolm Floyd, Stephen Hill,
Michael
Irvin are available, who do you take?
Now, the real people?
I don't know. Dealing with you, I never know anymore.
So what if it was Bruce Irvin?
He's not a first-round pick.
Not a first-round pick.
No?
No. Bruce Irvin is a mid-round, and I bet you he's a guy that some people don't have on their board. Yeah, I'm not taking him. Break signs after his pro day.
I would have to have him on my board.
I would, too.
Does he have first-round talent?
Some people believe he's the best pass rusher, pure speed pass rusher in the draft.
Yeah.
Paul certainly loves him.
Yeah.
Paul bought everything he was selling at the combine.
Paul likes him because, you know, he could have come out of everything.
Well, because, you know, Paul has had, you know, temper explosions in restaurants.
Right. He understands.
He understands. You can break things. You can get in trouble. You can fight women. It happens.
Sure.
Bruce Irvin fought with women?
Nah, Paul.
Yeah, but I didn't know if that's why he liked him.
Well, for all I know.
It's just transgressions in social settings.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he did do some time in juvenile jail.
From North Carolina, we go up to Illinois and take a call from Kat. Hey, Kat.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
How you doing, girl?
What's up, Kat?
Well, you guys are driving me absolutely nuts with this wide receiver stuff.
Like catnip?
I
want defense. And, God, why do we want a wide receiver? We've got how many, like 8 on the roster?
Yeah, but not all of them are great. I want a great one.
And not all of them are going to be here long term.
Yeah, but we haven't drafted a great wide receiver in a long time.
So we're due,
right.
But I don't think we can. I've lost all faith in the scouting and any, like, evaluation of wide receivers.
Yeah, but
I just don't think.
But wait, that was the same story at tight end. They blew it on Graham. He wasn't that good. He wasn't worth trading up for. Watson wasn't that good.
Took forever to draft a
good
tight end.
They drafted all these other guys in the third, fourth round who sucked, and then all of a sudden they drafted two who are now the poster child for good tight ends in the NFL in Hernandez and Gronkowski. So
they drafted a million tight ends since Belichick's been here, and the only two they hit on were these last two.
You can't give up on it. Maybe the next one is the Gronkowski-like receiver who's the best in the game.
Right.
But we don't need them. I mean, this year we don't need them. That's a position we can wait a year.
That's true.
Right. So, but, I mean, the defense we can't wait another year on.
Yeah, but what if they suck?
Yeah,
what if you're just drafting a guy? Oh, he plays defense and he'll play, but he's not that good.
I don't want to draft another Jermaine Cunningham.
Right.
I want to draft a guy on defense who's going to be a contributor from day one.
Right. I agree with you. I definitely agree with you.
And that's why I'm saying, if there's nobody like that available, I'll get another position of need, and that's wide receiver.
I'd rather them trade down or trade out and get. I mean, I know that nobody likes that answer, but I'd rather them pick up more draft picks next year when maybe it's a stronger class.
Yeah,
that may be the right answer this year. We've talked about that a little bit. The more you get a feel for it, if somebody's willing to move up and take that pick and give you a deal, not even as good as what the Saints gave you, but a good value deal, that may be the right play this year. But I want to ask you, have you watched Whitney Mercilus play much?
I like him. I like Mercilus.
Okay, so
I would take him.
Why did he come out of nowhere? What's your feel for it, Kat?
Well, I think, number one, I think what you guys were saying earlier about, you know, there's that extra motivation if you think you can come out, you know, for the draft as a junior and you turn it on.
Mm-hmm.
I think that a lot of these guys, I feel the same kind of about, like, Dontari Poe. I think that they save themselves in college a little bit if they think, you know, if they've been hearing their whole lives, which probably a lot of these guys have, you could go to the NFL, man. You know, you could make it. There's that, I'm not sure you want to put it all out there when you're a freshman, when you're a sophomore. I think you get worried about getting hurt, and you start thinking long term about, you know, the payday down the road, and, you know, and then you turn it on, and there you go.
Yeah.
So I'm not opposed to the 1 year wonder thing. I think if he's shown talent, which he has, you know, it's talent is talent. It's either there or it's not. Whether, you know, he can, if he hasn't been hurt, if he can stay healthy and he's shown you something, I feel like he's worth taking a chance on.
Well, my only concern with that, Kat, is if a guy has to wait to turn it on because he's afraid to get hurt or whatever, I don't think he should ever go on the field being afraid to get hurt, first of all.
True, I agree.
Secondly, what's to stop this guy now, once he gets to the NFL, from saying, okay, I did it, I got my money, I'm done.
Certainly.
And then he checks out when he gets to the NFL.
Checks out for 3 years, and then when he's looking
to
be a free agent,
wants to cash in with somebody else.
Similar bust-out year.
Yeah. That concerns me.
I agree with you. I think so, too. I mean, but that's something where you got to get in. I feel like the locker room and the other players and the coaches and all of that, that's a motivation issue that if you feel like that guy can be, you know, you can get to that guy and you can kind of change his mind and really get him motivated, then, you know, maybe that won't be as much of a problem.
And he has the pure physical. He's got the 6'4", 4'6", 40, 260 pounds, athlete. He's got all the measure. Oh, well, easy now.
No, I thought he looked great. I mean, I would rather take him than Ingram.
Me too. I'm not in love with Ingram. I know everybody says he just gets there, but I feel like he's one of those guys where the NFL could be his glass ceiling, where he'd get up, he's just good enough to do whatever, and then
right.
you realize, oh, wait, he's
Although
not worth
I
a
hope,
high pick.
I know it's not going to happen, but I hope Ingram is the guy that somehow suddenly starts to fall, because I would much rather have him, honestly.
Well, you know, this is a great week. I love this week, because suddenly everybody's in the top 10.
Right.
You know? And then... And then, like, you get to draft day, you know, whoa, I thought he was going to go in the top 10. And, you know, you never know yeah. who's going to end up falling.
Yep.
I had one other thing, which was you guys were talking a little bit earlier about picking up a guard, maybe in the later rounds, now that we're thinking that there's, you know, some shakeup with Light and we don't know about Brian Waters, who I really hope comes back. Cause I thought he was absolutely lights out last year. I thought he was great.
Yep.
But what did you think about Desmond Wynn?
What was the name again?
Desmond Wynn.
Wynn, W-Y-N-N?
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's not jumping out at me.
Well, take a look because
see an Illinois guy?
I don't have written down which school he came from. He's a guard. He's projected to the sixth or seventh round, which we don't have any picks for, but, you know, who knows. I thought his combine, he looked really, really good.
Oh, Rutgers. Yeah, Rutgers, he's okay. A Rutgers guy, yeah. I didn't think he was an overly aggressive player. He looks, you know, he looks the part, but it looks to me to be more of a project than anything.
Yeah, I thought he was a good developmental prospect, though, maybe.
And I like those. I like refilling that system for Dante every year and giving him a couple of those types of guys to work with. So,
well, anybody they draft on offensive line, I have good faith they can turn into something.
As long as Dante's here.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Kat.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, good stuff. Kat. Fred is such a fraud.
Kat from Chicago, what?
A girl calls and he lets her talk forever. If that had been a guy, he would have been trying to... Yeah, thanks, Kat. He would have been cutting her
she
off.
She was a good caller, though. Wasn't she?
I don't do that.
Yes, you do.
You do, kind of.
And that was reverse sexism, because she's
no,
a girl.
No, no, she was a good caller, though.
She had some questions she wanted to ask.
Rare.
She's becoming a more frequent caller, too. That's good.
Yeah, I was going to ask her if she knew anyone for you.
Easy, Eric.
Just because the girl talked to you doesn't mean she wants to do you.
Nobody said that.
Thomas from Denmark, given the limited talent pool available in areas of need in the draft.
You're interrupting Fred.
How about this strategy? Get West to sign his franchise tender.
Hiccup.
And trade him for a third rounder. Use that pick to trade for Asante Samuel. Trade the early first and early second round pick to the Vikings for Jared Allen. Use the remaining picks to fill remaining roster holes, such as deep threat receiver and safety.
That would be quite an active
lot of juggling going on there. I'm not sure.
I would take Jared Allen. I would take Asante Samuel. And I'm not 100% opposed to trading Wes Welker. But thinking all those things are going to happen is a little bit of a dream.
And then you'd have to get Asante to say, we need you to take less money.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if he'd be willing to do that or not.
But I'd still take him.
I would definitely take him.
He produces.
I would definitely take him. But I don't know if they would take him at whatever it is, $9 million or whatever he's
supposed to make. No, it would be a redone deal. It would be renegotiated.
That would have to be.
Terry in Washington, D.C. writes in, Orlando was right. The last episode was hilarious due to the Eric and France discussion. It made me reminisce about the episodes following his Egypt trip and the Scrabble Girl.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to do an Eric Goes to France comic. I was pretty upset after the Super Bowl loss, but I've been kept listening throughout. Still haven't gotten through the Brian Lowe, Lindsay, and Eric episode, though.
Oh, calm down.
Was it that bad?
No, it wasn't.
So you've now been a part of the best and worst shows in the history of
this
program.
No, the worst show in the history was his solo one.
That's not what people say.
Oh,
they
yes,
said yours with
say.
B-Lo was the worst.
No.
That's what I've heard.
No.
People turned
far
it off.
More people
couldn't listen,
no, that's,
quote unquote.
No. They were just being mean. They weren't. That wasn't true.
Truth is never mean.
Right, and that wasn't the truth.
Let's see. Jeff in Boston
it was mean.
Writes in, love the draft talk and Tuesday's Parisian brothel talk. particularly since it seems like Big Head and the Cadillac crime fighter seem to have nearly convinced Eric to go.
That's kind of why I was most impressed with that show, because I really got the... He's actually thinking about having sex with a prostitute.
If he does, three questions. One, what would be the upper spending limit on Big Head's credit card?
Well, the limit's not an issue. It's how much I want to spend.
I think you said $1,000 yesterday, right?
Did I?
Or Tuesday. As we were walking out, you said you'd spend a grand.
Well, I wouldn't. Okay. I think you did
say
that.
If I'm going to pay a
grand
actually
for somebody to bang a hot chick, it's going to be me. It's not going to be Eric.
No, for you. Oh, how much would you pay for Eric to do?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. We talked about would you pay 10 grand if she was like the hottest girl.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a lot of money for one, you know, 15 seconds of fun.
Indecent Proposal was $1 million, right?
10 minutes? Or
the movie?
Minutes?
You're right, 10 minutes.
Indecent Proposal?
What?
That movie? Indecent
Robert
Proposal?
Robert Redford and
Demi Moore?
Yeah, and Woody Harrelson, wasn't that $1 million, right? Didn't he say, I'll give your wife,
like
you
that,
and your wife $1 million?
I would definitely
me?
Do that if I was loaded. If I were Mr. Kraft and had billions, I would just walk around, you're hot, I'll give you $1 million if you want to go right now. I would definitely do that. No doubt in my mind. You don't think Mark Cuban's ever done that?
No. You want to make $5 the hard way?
I do. I think he has. Daniel Schneider.
Well, you don't do it
these
like
new age
that.
Rich
you
guys.
Do it. You do it more subtly.
No,
you make it known.
No, because part of the fun is just slamming the money down. And, let's go, Bizbo.
Well, you make it known that you have a lot of money, it'll be worth your while if you're with me.
No. I want to flat out buy the girl for an hour, and just do whatever the hell I want.
Wow! Oh, he's just getting nasty.
Yeah, he's gritting
about
his
it.
Teeth.
Wow!
Talking in his Fred voice.
Just
and
getting nasty.
Kevin is now laughing through the glass. It's really getting on.
The second question Jeff has is, if Big Head explained that charge to his wife truthfully on his credit card, would she be mad or submit it to the IRS as a charitable deduction?
That's a good line.
Who is this?
Jeff in Boston.
Jeff
and his
Boston.
Third question is, would the brothel have an instruction card in English so Squidward could get Big Head's money's worth? Eric doesn't understand what that means. You have to know what you're doing when you're there.
No, not with a professional. I'd let her handle things.
Yeah.
She's a lot, you know, better at that stuff.
I also speak French, so it wouldn't matter.
Oh.
Yeah, but you don't know how to have sex in any language.
That's not true.
Right.
That's not true.
It's kind of like you don't have to talk. Anyway, love the show and just had a quick question for Mr. and Mrs. Draft and Grandpa Draft, who's on vacation. I agree that we should go all in on D with the top couple of picks, but what are your thoughts on Chris Polk of University of Washington? Is that where he's from?
Yes.
As a mid-late round running back pickup. I know that at the Senior Bowl and Combine, he did not do any favors for himself, but he had 3 years of great production on a mediocre at best team, including solid games against good out-of-conference teams like LSU and Nebraska, and ended up right at the top of the Washington Career Leader Board for production.
Yeah, he was a former high school wide receiver. He's got some decent hands. He's pretty shifty for a guy that size. Has a strong base, too, unlike your guy Turbin, who I think is a little too light
I think you're
down
a little
there.
Too light down there.
I like him. I mean, I wouldn't like him in the first or second round, but, I would take him with the third or fourth. One of those.
Yeah, I had no problem with him. I'm not, in love with him like I am Turbin. He's an interesting guy because he's kind of like a tweener. I agree with you. He has good hands, kind of a change of pace, third down back type. But I also think he has the skills to be a lead back. So he kind of could, for a team like the Patriots,
intriguing.
Has a committee.
Yeah.
He could certainly be the three. You know, if you have Vereen and Ridley, and Ridley's your starter, and Vereen's your third down guy,
you have
he
this
is
other guy,
a little bit of both kind of thing.
And I'm looking for that in this draft. I'd like them to get a guy like that who can maybe spell these other two guys or even develop into a more of an every down back.
R-I-D-L-E-Y.
Scott writes in. He says, this is the post-generic Scott. Now with Copen back and wideouts up the wazoo, can we table our offensive needs this draft and go all in on defense? My guess is there may be young receivers and interior linemen in next year's draft that can fill those non-immediate needs next year. The way I look at it currently is we're set at QB. We're set at tight end. We're set at tackle, even with Light gone. We're set at guard and center for now. And we're set at wide receiver, and another Jag running back is needed, but you can find them at Jiffy Lube these days. We will assume that Solder will be bigger this year, and we'll lock that up. We will find out what position Cannon will play. I think we will have as better depth at the line in general than we have had last year because we know more about the backups than we did at this time last year. I say go all in on defense and deal with the offense in 2013.
You could do that. They have no immediate needs on offense other than probably one more running back. And you can get those. He's right. So they are set up that if they wanted to go all defense, they certainly could.
All right, 1:30. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go down to Texas and talk to a caller named Antoine.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day. With plush leather seats, including legroom galore, to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
What would make your business better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a business checking account, better banking is a package of business solutions with preferred rates and better resources, along with customizable options designed to fit your business perfectly. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. Let us show you how dedicated we can be to your business. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
Gentlemen, there's nothing special about tonight. Tonight's underrated. Tonight is free of expectations. Tonight you can't be disappointed. It's just another night. That's why tonight could be the greatest night of your lives. It's on nights like tonight when you take a sip of that ice-cold Budweiser and jump on stage. It's when you stay up until the sun comes up. It's when you end up at a party when you don't know a single person's carrying you on their shoulders. Gentlemen, you were conceived on a night like tonight. So crack open a crisp, cold Budweiser. Put on your Saturday night outfit and make tonight the greatest night of your life. Great times are waiting. Grab some Buds!
Please drink responsibly. Budweiser Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Patriot Place in Boxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember the...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Eric, Fred, and Andy holding down the fort while Paul's down in Florida. He sent us a picture via text. What was it, Monday night, Tuesday night, or something like that? It was like this huge walrus or sea lion.
And he made fun of you in it.
He's he goes, like, we finally found someone with fatter shoulders than Fred. And I said,
I mean, just completely opening himself up to his own.
I said, what
criticism.
Is that, Paul's dinner? The thing was huge.
It's funny because he's fat.
He must have went to SeaWorld or something, I guess.
Nothing gets by you.
Well, I don't know. If I was down there, I'd be at Universal or Disney World, right?
I wonder if that was the same place where
Randy
Moss took the picture of the walrus, remember? And you tweeted it out and said
Randy Moss and Paul at SeaWorld.
That's probably where he got the idea from.
Could be.
Web radio at Patriots.
Because he was going to say.
Yeah. Right. Right. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket hotline.
Pat Summitt having her press conference right now.
Oh,
retiring.
Say goodbye.
Let's go.
She actually
down.
Just said, why are we all here?
Oh,
stop. That's terrible.
That's really mean.
See, he's mean.
Yeah.
He's
mean. I've never doubted it.
That was mean. I'll admit that was mean.
Let's go down to Texas. Antoine is there. Hey, Antoine.
How you doing?
Good.
Yes, I'm calling because my Patriots lost the Super Bowl.
We know that.
And I want to know what messed up, because every time we watch the Patriots play, the fourth quarter, they always slacking down. And I don't understand that we should have won that Super Bowl. We had the game in our hand.
Yep.
We should have won that game. You think so?
Yes,
I agree. Absolutely.
Yes, the game was within reach, and you had it in your hand, as you say. Yep.
Yeah, we had it in our hand, and our tight end missed the pass, and our wide receiver missed the pass. But Chad Johnson should have played in that game more often.
Okay. I mean, are you saying that if he had, they would have had a better chance of winning?
If he had, the coach had kept him in the game instead of taking him in and out, we probably had a chance of better winning.
Why do you say that?
Because when I see Chad Johnson play for his old team, I know that if he had to do that route on the middle route where we could have got that first down and hold on to the clock, we could have won that game.
But Chad Johnson sucked all year.
Yeah, why is
I hate to be blunt, but, I mean, the man couldn't catch. He didn't know which way to run out of the huddle. He would stumble on routes. As Fred said, every route he ran was an event. Nothing looked right. How are you going to have confidence in the biggest game of your season to leave Chad Johnson on the field? I don't defend Bill Belichick a lot for some of the decisions he makes, but not making Chad Johnson a huge part of that game plan, to me, is not an accurate criticism. He had no reason to have faith in Chad Johnson.
Yeah, you're right. But our offense, we did good out there, though. I'd say we did good without Chad Johnson. But you got to give Chad Johnson a chance, though.
He had chances.
Every week but one, he had a chance. He was inactive 1 week, but other than that, he would get chances. And literally, in the Super Bowl, Tom Brady had to yell, no, go the other way to him. I mean, that's what it got down to. You could not trust him. I mean, we even saw chances early in the year where a bad throw turns into an intercept. I mean, a play turns into an interception, maybe because Chad Johnson is not either fighting for the ball or at least in the exact spot. You can't have that happen in a Super Bowl. You can't lose. When you go into a Super Bowl, you have to go with what you trust, what you believe in. And there was no reason to believe in Chad Johnson.
Yeah, thanks for the call, Antoine. You know,
and I don't mean to berate him or anything.
Yeah,
but
no, I think I know what he's saying. You know, like in that fourth quarter, not just this game, but, you know, who was that guy that could step up? I think they had a lot of guys this year.
But
the guy was hurt.
Yeah,
no, that's Gronkowski.
And how often this year did the ball go to Hernandez and he dropped it? I mean, he had a couple of drops.
He had a few drops.
More often than not, you were comfortable throwing the ball to Aaron Hernandez.
Yes. Yeah.
More often than not, you're comfortable throwing the ball to Deion Branch. More often than not, you're comfortable throwing the ball to Wes Welker. None of those guys made plays when they had to.
Right. Go with what got you there.
In that particular game,
I'd rather lose the
Antoine's
Super Bowl going
right.
with what got you there
than... you can't reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
If anything, I'd be criticizing Bill Belichick Why'd you get away from what got you there? Why?
Yeah.
Right. You know, now we have to make Chad Johnson the
because then if they lose,
right.
throwing to Chad Johnson,
right.
everybody's saying he doesn't produce all year, and you're throwing to him in the
right.
Super Bowl.
Exactly.
What the hell's wrong with
go
that?
With what got you there?
Right, exactly.
And I'm not sure I agree with the fourth quarter thing either. Certainly in the Super Bowls,
you don't agree with this premise?
Right. Yeah, I don't. I'm like
commissioner.
I mean, you got to the Super Bowl because you made the plays you needed to against the Ravens.
Well,
right?
The 07 Super Bowl, they did make a play when they really needed it.
So now we're saying because your last two Super Bowls, you came up a little short, you don't make plays.
Right.
And by the way, those Super Bowls were separated in a 4-year span. I mean, let's look at the whole thing. This team has made the plays to win in the regular season, and this year they made all the plays they needed in the postseason except for one. I saw Dick Curl.
NFL
Bet
Network.
You can see that in Amsterdam, too, if you look hard enough.
Oh, I don't want to.
Mikey Vandalism in East Haven, Connecticut writes in, just wanted to write in because it's my birthday.
Hey!
Happy birthday!
That was a
premium
birthday.
Premium shout-out? You just got it. We are 1 week away from the draft, and I'll be at the draft live at Radio City Music Hall to see the Patriots take a second-round talent with their first pick at 27 and then trade out with their other pick at 31.
We want to hear you booing, and we want to see a PFW sign.
Yeah.
Hold up a PFW sign.
Do you have a PFW T-shirt? You should be wearing that, too.
Right.
He does. It doesn't fit anymore. It doesn't cover his stomach.
But if you do need one, let us know. We'll get you one. I was watching some film.
Oh, is it drunk?
And these are a few of the guys that stood out to me that would fit nicely with New England. So let's play a little game and give me a yay or nay, and if you think New England would take them with their two picks in the first round of the draft. Really quick. Yay or nay. Mark Barron.
Yay.
Yay.
Fletcher Cox.
Yay.
Yay, but he's not going to be there.
Michael Brockers.
Yay.
Yay, but I'm a little nay.
Dontari Poe.
Nay.
Nay.
Nick Perry.
Yay.
Eh.
Whitney Merciless.
Yay.
Vinny Curry.
Eh.
No, nay.
Bruce, and not there.
Bruce Irvin.
Nay not, there.
Not
yeah,
there. That
there,
means a nay.
But,
yeah.
Oh, all right. Don't yell.
Ronnell Lewis.
Nay.
Nay.
Brandon Thompson.
Nay.
Nay.
Janoris Jenkins.
Yay.
Yay, but yay. I'm skeptical.
Dre Kirkpatrick.
Yay.
Yeah, yay.
Yay, you don't love it.
Stephen Gilmore.
Yay.
Stephon.
Yeah.
Yay.
Stephen Hill.
Yay.
And finally, Alshon Jeffrey.
Nay.
Okay.
Nay.
I'm not overly high on the upper tier talent personally. Whatever we get in the first round would be great, but I hope we can do damage in the second round, get a few quality guys. I think Vinnie Curry, Brandon Thompson, and Brandon Boykin look like studs. These are three guys that we really need to try and get. They both look very good on film and made plays, something our defense needs to do. I've been crying for a pass rusher for 3 years now. I hope I'll get a late birthday present. We'll draft a pass rusher early in the upcoming draft. What do you guys think?
I hope so. We've been saying it for so many years. I just am tired of saying it. I feel like a broken record.
So. We'll cheer when it happens. We'll just wait quietly until then.
Let's see. Brian from Essex, currently vacationing in Florida until the 24th.
Oh, is he with Paul?
He says, I was just curious
was with Paul in that picture.
If you're able to see the Discovery as it was flown to Washington, D.C. for its final resting place in the Smithsonian. I'm in Florida and was able to watch it take off and do low-altitude flyovers of Kennedy Space Center and the surrounding beaches. I got a bunch of pictures if you'd like.
That's pretty cool.
I can send them your way. Anyway, sorry about the two emails, not football-related. Back to normal programming. I saw it on TV
when
they went over the Capitol.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It's pretty awesome.
You weird know, sight. Like, weird sight, though, huh? To see a spaceship on top of
right. You know it's just a piece of metal, but you kind of got a little sentimental about it, you know?
Yeah. I mean, certainly Andy and I grew up watching space shuttle launches.
Yep.
I mean, that was huge.
Yeah.
The first one I really remember, unfortunately, was the Challenger.
Yeah. Me too.
I mean,
I grew up watching covered wagons go across the country.
What were you doing, Fred, when the moon landing happened?
I was at home 1969, so I was 8 years old or 7 years old at the time. And I just remember being at home. It was at night.
Oh, was?
Yeah, it was at night being able to stay up to watch it.
Was that something?
I remember calculating in my head, it was 1969, how old I would be in the year 2000 for some reason. Like looking ahead, I remember doing that calculation. Oh, I'll be 31 or whatever it is. In the year 2000, for some reason.
I don't think it was 31.
whatever it was. How old I would be.
It was only 12 years
I remember,
ago. You're 50-something, aren't
you? I can't imagine like what the excitement level must have been just around the country for that.
Because
I remember the Challenger week, it was Christy McAuliffe, and that was all the the novelty of that, you know,
right.
a civilian going into space, and like everybody couldn't wait for
and
that,
then,
and then the tragedy.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's something like that, something historic. You got to actually
live
through.
It was pretty cool. The only bad part about it was, you know, you're talking about limited film, you know what I mean? It's like it was black and white and kind of grainy. And
yeah, but the moon is black and white.
You had to have someone explaining
right? I mean,
to you what you were
really
seeing.
Color. Yeah.
You know, when it first landed. Obviously, later, when he's out on, you know, jumping around and all that, there's a lot more clear. But, you know, you see this thing kind of settle down. They had a camera, like, out of Eagle's, you know, it was called the Eagle.
Right.
And it was, like, focused on the legs, so you could see one of the legs
hitting the ground,
the sand or the whatever it is, and you know it all puffs up around. It was pretty cool, and you know the eagle has landed and all that stuff. And
they had limited things they could do in the studio in L.A.
And then it was pretty cool when you know when Neil Armstrong first came out and took his first step onto the surface. That was like pretty cool, you know. But that didn't happen right away. You know, it was like they didn't like land, and he jumped out of the. You know,
gotta go to the bathroom.
All right. Right. As I recall, there was like you know a long time in between those two events.
And this was at night,
I believe so. Yeah, Eastern time.
And was this on all like all channels?
Oh yeah. Oh my God.
Walter Cronkite.
I mean,
right?
There were only four channels at the time.
It was
right?
Cronkite doing the
CBS with Cronkite, and I think NBC. I'm trying to think who was there. Was it Huntley and Brinkley at the time? Maybe Chet Huntley and David Brinkley. It might have been. I'm not sure. And then ABC, I have no idea. But it was
Fox didn't exist.
No.
Yeah, it was. I think I'm surprised that like that when they talk about TV ratings that's not the number one thing.
Well, there weren't as many TV households either
Could
back
be.
Then,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
But
I mean, I know
I
it was 69.
Think the share was pretty high. I mean,
everybody
was
high,
watching.
Yeah,
I would imagine, right?
Yeah. I would think so.
But you don't see that mentioned.
No, you don't.
You know. But why would you watch anything else? I'm going to watch Lucy instead of that. What the hell?
No, right? Where were you when the Neil Armstrong landed on the moon? I was watching I Love Lucy.
Right.
It was just a bunch of sand. It was black and white. I mean.
Oh, my God. Let's see. So we got a little diversion.
A little lull here. A little lull here.
We need to get back to Eric's. He's supposed to have a prostitute update. We're going to be running out of time here.
Oh, that's true. It's getting close to the end of the show. So, Eric, do you
have more emails over there?
You have do you have information for us?
I had to laugh really at Anthony the other day for a few reasons. First of all, why was he so angry? Like he has no vested interest in this at all.
Well, that's what he does.
He does. Yeah, I mean, that is kind of
his shtick.
That is kind of his MO. He gets all upset. But
that's it?
No. No,
he's not sure he wants to say what he's about.
Yeah,
to say.
I really am not sure about it, but
Jose.
And all that. He was so adamant too that you know, the older I get, no way in hell it's not possible to find a younger
well,
woman.
I think
he
the internet
really,
has changed all that.
No, but I'm not even talking about the internet. But
oh, get to
in
it.
In the last 6 months or so,
this better be good.
You banged a hot girl.
I have had. Dates with several different women, all of them in their 20s. Not internet related whatsoever, just the old fashioned way, normal everyday life.
How did you meet them?
Various ways. Let's just.
A van door and some duct tape.
No. They were all very nice, all very sweet. I still see a couple of them pretty frequently. Nothing too serious, but.
What base?
What do you mean, what base?
Did you get to?
How far did you get?
I'm a gentleman. I'm not going to talk about that kind of stuff.
Well, we know you didn't score.
But there's been
Triple?
Contact.
Heavy
there's
petting?
Been contact. Yeah.
Dry humping.
But I'm
and
not going to go
in
into details.
20s?
I'm not going they're all in their 20s. Some
wait a minute. I
have you been
what?
Hanging around the RISD campus?
No. So for Mr. Doubter down there in Florida, it's not completely out of the question, and surprisingly, the older I've gotten, the easier this has become. For whatever reason.
Well, not easy, because you
have
to score.
No, not easy, but I mean, it's there's nothing up, it's just.
They were girls, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Idiot.
They
were all very nice, they're all smart.
Forearms, two arms, four.
Nope, I'd say they range from somewhat plain to
fat.
Very cute to even very beautiful in one case.
Do any of them have future prospects, long-term prospects?
I think one or two of them might.
Have you painted any of them naked?
No, Fred, I have not.
I don't mean them naked. I mean no. You naked. While
Have
you
I painted
painting.
Naked while I was painting? Yeah. No, yeah. I don't do that either.
No?
No.
Something's fishy.
No, there's
yeah,
nothing.
I'm sorry.
There's nothing fishy. I just don't. You know I don't like to talk about these things. Right. And
he never found out if anything was fishy.
Oh. But Anthony's irate nature just... I just figured it was
so
enough.
Enough.
Yeah. Enough is enough with all of the joking and
okay.
all that stuff. It's not impossible. It's
so
not out of the question.
Why don't you take one of these lovely young women with you to Paris?
Well, it's not that serious, Fred.
It's been on like a date or two.
I know. It's casual. That their lives are kind of busy, like all of us are, and we don't see each other all the time.
How are you meeting these women?
Honestly, it's just...
No, it's not just. There has to be a way that you met them.
No, it's been different.
Have you been frequenting bars? Have you been going to
church,
art shows, church?
A little bit of everything.
A little bit of everything. So you've been out there.
Yes.
You're doing things.
Yes.
So you're exposing yourself.
Well done, Fred. Well done.
Well,
no, see, this is why I don't like to talk about these things, because he always has to twist them.
But not even I thought he sat at home and never went outdoors. And
but
never...
I've always done those things. That's the thing. It's just I don't
suddenly
know.
Started working.
Suddenly it started working.
Well,
yeah,
sort of.
You're
not,
sort of
you're
working.
Not internet
yeah.
dating, are you?
No, I'm not. I said that to begin
okay.
with.
Okay. Have you refined your? Come on.
I don't know. Maybe. I don't. I really don't know how to explain it.
You know, like,
but it's. I really don't.
I mean, have you gotten better with breaking the ice?
Maybe.
You're using the Patriots as a way of breaking the ice. Why do I feel like I'm playing 20 questions?
Yeah, I know.
Have you used how much does a polar bear weigh? Enough to break the ice?
No.
You haven't used
Good
that
God
one?
Almighty. Well, when did he start jumping in? He doesn't pay attention the whole show, and all of a sudden he starts to
Well, he's had a girlfriend since third grade. It's the same girl, right? Pretty much.
Really?
Yeah.
Since third grade?
Not since third grade, but Fred's on the right track, but not since third grade.
So anyway.
He hasn't had to break the ice in a long time. It's tough to break the ice.
No,
it
his
really
girlfriend
is.
Breaks it for you, if you know what I'm saying.
Because you don't want to come on as too eager, you know? So.
Well, I think
Eric
needs to do whatever he needs to do.
Yeah.
Pride went out the window about 6 years ago in this dry streak. Just get the deed done, however the hell, you know, aside from, like, illegal. Yeah.
Which is what you were promoting the other day.
No, that's legal.
But I was not everywhere.
When I mean aside from legal, I mean if she says no, then don't keep doing it.
I still say, Eric, you go to France, clean out the pipes. When you come back, you'll feel that much more relaxed with these women.
I still can't believe your wife agreed with you.
What?
I still can't believe your wife agreed with you.
She absolutely thought there was nothing wrong with that.
Your boss's wife thinks you should go to a prostitute. This has got to be a TV show.
Nothing wrong with it.
Does she have any friends? Not that it prostitutes, just...
There's actually a lovely woman who lives down in Virginia now who was divorced and has...
Well, who cares? She lives in Virginia.
Well, you know...
If you wanted a girl in Virginia, he'd chase down the Scrabble girl again. She was down that way, wasn't
cars
she?
Now.
Delaware,
we have cars and planes now. We can visit.
That's... You know? Yeah, but that's...
If he wants to not have sex, he can not
have
a woman.
Okay.
Good Lord. How do you make me be on his side?
No, it's awkward. We don't like to be allied.
Good for you, Eric. I hope at some point
we'll see.
You consummate something.
Wait,
with
so
someone.
You had some heavy petting? I find that hard to believe. Did you have to?
I don't want to get into specifics.
Well, I'm just saying, after like an 8-year drive spell, I would think heavy petting would cause something to happen prematurely, if you know what I'm saying.
The most interesting man, Patriots fan in the world's on the phone. He probably wants to chime in here. What's up, James?
The first thing is Pigalle is the red light district in Paris. So that's where you need to head, Eric.
And are there
and
hot?
Enough, it's also the artist haunt. It's where like Toulouse-Lautrec used to live, and Picasso.
That's
Van
in
Gogh
the.
There. There's a Dali museum there.
Right.
You can cover all the bases. Pigalle
right.
is your heaven.
Is that the name of the neighborhood? Because I thought there was the neighborhood was called the Marais district.
Yeah, no. It's between two arrondissements, but Pigalle is the area. That's where the Moulin Rouge is.
Oh, okay.
And,
you've been there, I trust.
Well, my mother's from Paris, so.
Oh.
But no, she's not from that area, if that's what you mean.
So you're half French?
Yes, I am, unfortunately. Very embarrassing. I hate the French.
Now, have you sampled the goods in this neighborhood?
Absolutely not. How dare you suggest such a thing? How dare you suggest that a military veteran would ever
describe these? Oh, right.
Especially with what's been going on in the news these days, certainly, yes.
But no, so that's the thing. Also, my great aunt lives there as well, Eric. So I'll put in a good word. She's in her 90s.
Oh, that's so mean.
I think you might have it there. Give her one for...
Stop it.
If she still cooks, maybe Eric could get a nice hot meal while he's in Paris.
Very good. More than a hot meal, my friend.
You provide enough lunches. I don't need to go through the family route.
It'll be very fishy, put it that way.
We're talking about a 90-year-old woman, and you're...
I'm not interested in bouillabaisse, my friend.
Very good. All right. Well, we'll keep on the back burner just in case. It'll be the end of holiday if things don't work out.
Okay.
Yikes. All right,
thanks, James.
That might be the most inappropriate thing we've ever discussed.
Yes.
A 90-year-old
woman
serving herself up. I mean,
yes. Not even her nephew serving her up. That's even worse.
You got to clear the cobwebs.
Oh, stop.
Oh, it's terrible.
Stop.
She takes her teeth out. So
Well, that's not a... That's okay.
Please tell me you've never had that.
Please, yeah.
What?
That,
a woman take her teeth out?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Although I could see how it would be...
sure. Spiraling off the tracks yet again.
It's all your fault.
It's not my fault.
Adam... Well, if you would just end this line of discussion by sealing the deal somewhere...
Good, Eric. So keep us updated with your progress. Adam in D.C., soon to be Oakland, says, just want to thank you for years of podcast fun and let you know I have finally bought a subscription to the paper that makes the podcast possible.
Thank you.
Hopefully this will inspire my uncle, who insists on only buying magazine subscriptions as Christmas gifts, to choose PFW this year as well.
Oh, that would be nice.
My question, how high would you feel comfortable drafting a player whose most significant contribution would be in returning kickoffs? This felt like the only real soft point of the third unit, as they would reflexively scream for Danny to take a knee if he even hinted at coming out of the end zone.
Day three.
If that's all he does?
If that's really all he does,
then day three.
Yeah.
Now, if he's a developmental receiver or then running back like
mid-round.
Chris Rainey or something, but if he's just, if you said all he's going to do,
what if you knew... What you know now, like about Percy Harvin, or you know,
he would have to be like Devin Hester type good.
Yeah,
and you'd have to know that you were getting a Devin Hester type player.
Well, if you knew Devin Hester was what he's going to do, would you draft him in the first round?
Probably not the first round.
Probably not.
Okay.
I mean, even the Bears. I mean, it's not like they just said you're going to be a returner. They've tried to make him a receiver,
and
it hasn't really worked. But I mean, you can argue it for this team. I mean, we just said on offense you have pretty much everything set. You could upgrade, sure, but defense, I just keep getting back to, you need to pick guys on defense that can play.
Yeah.
But I do think that the kick return thing will be an aspect of some player they take, whether it's a corner or a wide receiver or something. I think somebody's kick return ability will put them over the top where this team drafts them this year.
It was interesting. John Mara, the owner of the Giants, was came out a few weeks ago, and I don't know the exact quote, but it was along the lines of he could see the league leaning in the direction someday of eliminating kicks.
Right. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk of that of late.
Yeah.
I don't like
kickoffs?
It. Yeah.
Or all kicks?
Well, all kicks. And
so no punts? Or
yeah, and I could see, and he said, you know, obviously that has ramifications late in a game where – you know, you can try to get back in the game with an onside kick if you eliminate that possibility. Okay, now what? So they obviously have talked about it.
Yeah, I don't
care. Or to win games with a field goal, that goes out the window.
I don't like it.
Yeah.
Blech.
Nah.
Tooie. Your guy just doesn't like football.
Thanks again, says Adam. I look forward to the extra glossy draft material, though you really should give Andy more license with the headlines. Nose pick would have been amazing. Well, I think
that's
we all
liked
it.
For.
We just couldn't.
Yeah, I'm not safe. I mean, some of the ones I've come up with that we can't share. We just, you know, we'd be out of business.
Let's see. Steve writes in, guys, I have to agree with Orlando. From a comedy standpoint, angry Eric to Gerard Mayo to Eric's trip to France. I was almost in tears the whole time.
Good.
Now on to football.
About time Eric contributed to a good show.
I'd love to see Mark Barron, Whitney Mercilus, or...
Mercilus,
or Stephen Hill as a Patriot, but I don't think the first two will be available. So here are my guesses at the next possible Patriots. At 27, Janoris Jenkins. At 31, Shea McClellan. 48, Jared Crick. 62, Brian Quick. 93, Robert Turbin.
Oh,
that would be awesome.
I'm like Eric on the first date. Oh.
And on the 126th pick, Brandon Washington, offensive guard.
See the guy out of Miami? Where's he from?
And please, P.S., wide receiver Reds. Ronaldo Nehemiah, world Nehemiah. Record hurdler, ran a 4.140 for the 49ers back in the day.
That was in the 80s. Ronaldo Nehemiah, he was a track guy. Yeah, he ran a 4.1, and he couldn't catch the football.
I'm not sure he ran
4.1, though. That's... Geez.
He was literally just a track guy, and the 49ers said, wow, he could run that fast, and he couldn't catch the football. If he could, that would have been a great story. But
Brooklyn Matt writes in with some listener-on-listener crime. Hey, Mikey Vandalism, you wrote in to say it was your birthday last year, too. You're going to be at the draft, huh? How about I take the subway in, find you in that clown Fitzy, and clunk both your noggins together like Mo from the Three Stooges? And I'm calling dibs on Eric for Thanksgiving dinner during the Jets trip. Tell you what, Scalavino, if you still haven't gotten laid by then, I'll do you just so Andy has to shut up about your dry streak.
I know you want to do him. Don't try to rationalize it. You want to do him. That's been clear for over 2 years now. You want to bang Eric. That is obvious. And at Thanksgiving night, he'll be at a game, not having dinner with you.
Mark,
he'll be avoiding you.
Hold on, Kevin. Mark tape for that segment there next time Lindsay comes in so we can have Andy saying, you want to do Eric.
I got to go. I've got a meeting. It's 2 o'clock. That'll be the end of this show. Thanks for joining us.
One more week.
Eric's got a big weekend, I can tell. And we'll talk about that next Tuesday. We'll see you next Tuesday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.